a great privilege for me, especially to talk about something that I have such great passion for, and which I think
you're also involved in architectural work, no? Or in architectural
work. I work in landscape design, build gardens and function.
How did you get a passion for the, when it comes to planting, I've tried
ask
it.
Ask your vent.
Yeah, no, I know. What bites you?
There's what and then there's how. Well, I mean, I think it's really a gift from Hashem, first of all, to feel passion, especially towards something, and then to identify it is even a greater privilege that a person has, a great siyat d'shmaya, and if one can even earn a parnasa from it, all the more so. I mean, I think I was kind of born with this innate passion for the land, and you know, I just pursued that innate guiding force that drew me always to the earth and to my first garden, and eventually to wanting to know more about nature. And I mean, that's pretty much how it all started. I think, you know, we're all passionate about something. I remember the first time I gave a shul many, many years ago. So I spoke to a Magid Shir, and he said to me, give me some advice. So he said one thing to me. He goes, talk about what you're passionate for. And I said, okay, that's great. I love what I'm about to talk about. So he goes, you'll do great. That's it. That was very simple. And I think that it's so true. I've given hundreds of shiurim, and, you know, I'm passionate about each of my talks, and it comes across, and I'm sure you're passionate about something, whatever it might be. And you know, most of the things in life we're probably not passionate about, but we have to do it in any case, and we find a way to make Kiddush Hashem out of it, and just to bring out the Kiddush Hashem in it. You know, many times we don't like something, but we do it in any case. I happen to love what I teach. I happen to love what I do, and you know, flossing at night, for example, is hard for me. So, you know, but I have to realize it's good for my teeth, so I do it anyhow. In any case, whatever you're passionate about, pursue. If you're not passionate about it, find the Kiddush Hashem in it. Bring that out. But definitely passionate about this. I think we're going to talk about Shulis and Meiser this time. Finally, we're after Shemitah. We're into now the second year after Shemitah. And Shemitah, Bezat Hashem, is going to come around very quickly again. So we have an exciting topic at hand. It's a huge topic. It's a very relevant topic. And I think that everyone in some capacity is affected by Trumas and Meiser in terms of, you know, we all have perhaps our own garden. We have fruit trees, or we have some vegetables, or we even have a little planter box with some herbs inside. We have one pot with some mint in it. Or we have a friend with some fruit trees and a big garden and a vineyard even, and you know, they bring you a bottle of wine. And we need to understand these things. We need to know exactly what Trumas and Meiser is. Bizmanenu, it is the Rabbanan, but nonetheless we still have the Chiyuv to separate Trumas and Meiser as if it was the Raisa. There's really not much of a difference between the Raisa of Trumas and Meiser of today, that would be today, or the Rabbanan of Trumas and Meiser that is today. All the halachas are almost the same, are almost identical. So as you know, Trumas and Meiser is in Seder's Rhyme. And Seder's Rhyme also, as the Gemara tells us, has an alternative name called Seder Emuna. And, you know, I think it's very relevant because we can look at it from a few perspectives. You know, pshat, that growing food, you know, one has to rely on Hashem to, you know, cause plants to grow healthy. And, you know, we do our ishtadlus, you know, we turn the soil, we plant the seed, we water, we compost. And then we hope that Hashem plays His role and sees the plant through to our first crop. And you know, I think through this we kind of realize that Hashem is a partner in this process, and you know, it brings us closer to Him. Der Chamuna. I think yet another pshat might be is that through the very process of nature itself, and you know, the wonderment of the nature of soil, and then germination and botany. And, you know, from flower, food, rain, wind, all the elements that are involved in growing things, this very awareness and connection to these processes can also bring us extremely close to the Creator. And I think this in itself is what develops the emuna between a human being, a Jew, and the Master of the Universe. And, you know, in Chovas Levovos and Shar Bechina, the second gate, is very much what you know the Mechaber talks about, is is this the one of the first places that we find connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu is in nature itself. So I think it's very fitting that Seder Zrayim is also called Seder Emuna. So I just wanted to start off with that, a little bit of, you know, sense of that there's a deeper spiritual foundation. It is the shorish of all the six Siddurim is Seder Zrayim. Ironically enough, there's no Seder Zrayim except for Brochos in the Bavli. It's only in the Yerushalmi. So us, by the Beit Midrash, we only learn from the Yerushalmi Gemaras, and not, and because there are no Bavli Gemaras, and it's obviously fitting because in Babylon they didn't have a need for, you know, really so much learning or developing what's otherwise to be known as the Mitzvos HaTeluyos Laretz. But in Yerushalayim, obviously they're in Israel, so if, you know, they had this more of a necessity to learn the Mitzvos HaTeluyos Laretz. So it's just interesting thought whether they actually had written a Gemara, you know, the Gemaras in the rest of Seder Zrayim, we don't know. Some say there have been, some they were lost, some say they were never written in Babylon. Interestingly enough, Trumas and Meiser, while we kind of group it together,
it's tremendous.
Yeah,
the most efficient way, kind of bored.
It's one board for each person.
Rav, hard to chill and teach at the same time.
I'm gonna pass him a chill. Thanks. I gotta still be up for the next hour and a bit. It's interesting because Trumas and Meiser, we often think of as a mitzvah from the Torah, but actually Trumas and Meiser is an amalgamation of many mitzvahs of the Torah that we kind of group together into one category that's called Trumas and Meiser. The Seder Zrayim starts off with Brochos, Peah, Demai, Kilayim, Shvis, Truma, Meiser, Sheni, Chala, Orlam, Bikurim. So we see here that in the 11 tractates of Zrayim, 3 of them are directly under the umbrella of what we call Trumas and Meiser, which is Truma, Meiser, and Meiser Sheni. And most of the other tractates in the Seder are affected in one way or another. Trumas and Meiser is affected one way. There's a relationship between them. On Shavis, for example, we don't say separate Trumas and Meiser. What's Demai? Demai is the whole notion of whether something had Trumas and Meiser separated from it or not, which is another tractate. And Orla has Revi attached to it. You know, Revi, we don't separate Trumas and Meiser. And so on and so forth. So it's a very profound kind of mitzvah, this Trumas and Meiser, and I think it's important to kind of get down to, you know, what it is, how do we do it. In my car after, we'll all, has anyone ever separated Trumas and Meiser from, no? Okay, so I have some Tevel Vada. I have some in my car, and I forgot to bring it in. I'll bring it in, and we'll separate the Meiser after. You guys can, well, we have to see how you guys separate. You'll see it's not so simple, and for those of you who have done it, it'll be interesting, you know, perhaps to hear what you hear later during the rest of the shul. I think before we actually get into the actual parts of Trumas and Meiser, I think we should just first briefly discuss, you know, what is obligated Trumas and Meiser. So if we, in Masechus Meisers, in Perik Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, it tells us what is obligated in Meiseris. Let's get over there for a second. There we go. All right. Kacha. This is very important because many people may not know what is and what is not obligated Trumas and Meiseris. So it says, Klal Amru B'Meiseris, Kol Shehu Ochel V'Nishmar V'Gidulav Min Aretz Chai B'Meiseris. Well, let's end there. The Mishnah goes on a little bit more, but I think for our purpose, this is what's important. So the first thing is kol shu ochel, whatever's food. Lafuke what? Animal food. Animal food, strict animal food is not, you know, human food. We're not talking about barley, which is often discussed, but talking about other types of animal fodder that we would not eat. So that's not obligated Trumas and Meiser. Then it says,
why is that so clear cut that that's the Fouquet animals?
I mean, I'll give you one example. It can also be something that's not considered ochel by the rov, but, you know, for example, a lot of tivonim, as I was once called perhaps, and as they're called today, they eat, you know, certain types of wild-crafted foods or certain types of food that's in their property that grow, you know, wild, or they grow certain types of species that really are only almost like a das yachid, you know, like nobody eats it, they don't sell in the stores. Okay, there's a small percentage of people who do eat it, and this would also be, even though it's considered food for human consumption, doesn't fall under the category of kol shu ochel because it's not eaten by the masses. This is a big vikuach exactly because, you know, for example, what about something that was once eaten by the masses and today we no longer eat it? For example, 100 years ago they used to eat some type of crop that was seen as main staple food, but today that we don't grow it and we don't really eat it. There's a few people who still eat it today, but so it's interesting. There's all kinds. Is that considered kol shu ochel? Is that not considered ochel b'nei adam? So there's a lot of different discussion about these issues, but we're not going to get into that. Let's just say for our purposes that let's keep it clean. Like I said, the best example is animal food versus human food. What
those
we would
like
eat.
Grass, using
different types of grasses, things like that. It's also a good example. But there's other types of fodder that's used. Then the third one is nishmar. Nishmar is lafuke hefker. So something that's guarded and something that's deliberately grown with a specific intent in mind to guard it, grow it, harvest it, and then do whatever else with it. That could be your personal garden, or that could be an agricultural setting, whatever it might be. Lafuke hefker. Hefker being, let's say, a forest, or a desert, or, for example, the sea. It's also another example. And then the third one here is gidulav mina aretz. It has to be actually grown from the soil. And the most, you know, interesting, the most common example of this are mushrooms. Mushrooms are not obligated in Shumas and Maaser because they actually don't grow from the nourishment of the soil. They grow from in a different way. Their body, the mushroom is not actually the body of the plant, it's actually the flower. The mycelium, which is the body of the plant, actually can stretch dozens and dozens of kilometers throughout the forest floor. It's a phenomenal botanical wonder, the mushroom. But if you want to research some other time, needless to say, it does not actually get sustenance from the soil itself. So this is called something that is not gidulav min ha'aretz. Yeah, there's also shayla, for example. What about sprouts? What about a plant that, like pitaya, that has air roots? So there's all kinds of different issues, but let's not get to the, you know, fun, unique cases, but let's just keep it very general for our purposes here today, to keep it, you know, within proper boundaries. Now, another one that the Gemara doesn't, that the Mishnah doesn't talk about here, talks about it somewhere else, is that in order for it to be obligated in Trumas and Maaser, Bichlal, we're going to add one more, is that it has to be grown by a Jew on Jewish land. Meaning that the land itself has to be owned by the Jew, and the Jew himself has to actually produce the food. At what point does that production really kind of create the obligation? Is that the Jew himself has to do the Gemar Malacha. The Gemar Malacha is the point where we finished the harvest in the many different ways that we can harvest any types of fruit or vegetable. Let's say something as simple as putting cherries or strawberries in their baskets. This would be called Gemar Malacha. If it's done by a Jew and it's owned by Jewish land, this is the Chiyuv Maximali, so to speak. Now today there's all kinds of different shilas, all kinds of different situations. Most of the agricultural settings today are maybe Jewish lands, but you have the Thai workers working there. You have the Thai workers doing the Gemar Malacha. Needless to say, there's a lot of different questions, but let's just keep it again simple and for our situation here, more the home garden, which is owned by you guys, the Jew, and which will be most likely harvested by you yourself or even your friend who's also a Jew. So we're going to keep it like this today.
So there's also be a difference than if you're renting a place and it has a garden, so it's like you're not necessarily the owner, but
no, but you're probably renting it from a Jew.
Yeah, if you're renting it from a
Jew. No, if you're renting, you're like a tenant, and there's the Mishnah and the Gemara goes with all that, whether you're a tenant or whether you're a crop shareholder, all kinds of different things. This is all obligates you in Trumas and Meiser in the same way.
Okay. I meant if you're in
Where are you living?
I'm saying.
Just harvested two things recently, so olives, we go up for a tree, got tons of them.
Yeah.
According to the new one, we're no longer on Jewish land.
Right.
Taking look, we had a shiloh about that, actually.
Interesting point.
The lemon trees are super great. So the question is, could they have to do that?
Right, so there's a lot of interesting shalas, and one of the more interesting shalas is in the city. When the iriyah, let's say, plants certain types of fruit trees, is that called hefker, and therefore you'd be potter from Trumas and Meiser, or whether you actually, have to separate Trumas and Meiser. So maybe we'll answer that question after. It's a very interesting shalas.
What if you don't know? Where I work in Tel Aviv, and they put out fruits and vegetables for the workers. It's a company of 500-600 people. It's probably two or three people there that are religious.
Right.
I could ask them where they get it from, but I don't think I could trust them.
Right. So I got a great solution for you. I got a great and easy solution for you, what's that?
I bring food from home, but that's not a great solution.
Right. So if you're talking just fruits and vegetables, then I got a great solution. But obviously, cooked foods and prepared foods is something else. But if it's just raw fruits and raw vegetables, then I got a great solution for you, which I'll talk to you about after.
When I go to the shuk, and there's a sign, Shema and Maestros were taken. What if a goy does the Gemar Malacha? Then, if it's not obligated in Trumas and Maaser, can I say that it's like a? I would be first of all, it's Drabanan. There's a suffix that a goy did the Gemar Malacha. So then, why am I concerned about if Trumas and Maaser are taken off?
Right. So it's definitely a good question, and it gets even much more complicated than that. But there are ways that the Mashgichim, both the Rabbanut Yisrael, when food comes to the original distribution houses, and what the individual, Vada Kashrutim, Badat, Sefratim, what they all do in these situations, we could talk about that after, but there's many different Chiyuvim of Trumas and Maaser, and how to kind of all coordinate it together. Is a great feat, and so there's solutions around that as well, which we can talk about a little bit after.
You kind of said something as a joke, but if there's a dispute over the ownership of the land, 14 countries say it's not your land, and nobody says it is.
Right, right.
Is it considered Jewish land in that sense?
Well, are you in the local tabo? Are you written down in the governmental registry?
Is that what determines it?
That'll determine it. That'll determine it. Because there are non-Jews that own land in Israel, and it's obviously there's a big shaila if that's pokea mina kedusha saras and lo pokea mina kedusha saras and shvis and shumas and maizvus where the shaila originally started from. But these are all good questions. But let's just say if you have mashkanta and then you're registered as the owner of the land in the local governmental registry or wherever you're registered, then that makes it what's called your land, Jewish land, and whatever the rest of the nations say, it's really not pogeh b'halacha in this sense at all.
Okay, so but from what I understand, I haven't bought anything yet, so I don't have to deal with the
right.
It's like a taboo or whatever, but from what I understand, there's people have parts of their house that are legal and parts that aren't or whatever. Like if half your garden is legal and the other half not, you only have to take off from half your garden.
So that's obviously it's also an interesting question. That's something that would have to be explored in greater depth, and then the shaila would have to go forth towards Gdolei Yisrael in such a manner. It's an interesting. It's like people who kind of take over lands beyond their boundaries, and then there's a fruit tree there, or they plant something there. Is it legally considered? Yeah, interesting shaila. I'll have to ask that question. All right, I think we should get down to actually what are the gifts called, what are the gifts of Trumas and Maaser? So the first matana is called Truma Gdola. The next one is called Maaser Rishon. And this is in order of how they're actually separated. The one after is called Trumas Maaser. After Maaser Sheni, Maaser Oni. And then Ravai is in there as a overall, you know, subject that's will either potu bichlal from Trumas and Maaser or not. Ravai is more closely related to Orla than it is Trumas and Maaser, but we don't actually separate Trumas and Maaser from fruit that's Vade Ravai. So let's just start with Truma Gedola. What is Truma Gedola? Bezman, let's take the scenario as if we're in the Zman Beit HaMikdash. So the time of the Beit HaMikdash, Truma Gedola, the Raisa would be Mashuhu, meaning that you can separate, let's say you have 100 apples, you can separate out whatever you want that's called Ochel and designate it as Truma Gedola, which goes to the Kohen. And this will suffice for this portion of Trumas and Maaser, this gift, any amount. As the Gemara tells, even one grain would potter a whole silo. Billions of grains, one grain would suffice for this. But in Maseches Truma, I think it was Perek Dalid, Mishnah Gima, I can't have to check again, they talk about the different percentages of Ein Yofi, Ein Benoni, Ein Ra. So, if you give 1 in 40%, 1 in a 40, which is about just over 2%, then that's considered Ein Yofi. If you give 50%, then it's considered Ein Beino. If you give 1 in 60, it's considered Ein Ra. So, the Rabbonin, they established a percentage that one should give for Trumas and Maaser, which is actually what was Koveya during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, which is interesting. So what actually was Koveya when it was Duraisa was not the Duraisa with the Rabbonin, which was these percentages. Now, since we don't have a Beit Mikdash anymore, Rov Yoshvei Aleh, Chulei, different reasons, is we've gone, actually reverted now to the Duraisa, which is Mashu, which is an interesting notion, which doesn't really happen, I'm not sure, almost anywhere else in Torah. I can't even recall a situation. Maybe someone else can, but I can't recall a situation where at the time where it is Doraisa, meaning we have a Beis HaMikdash, called, you know, Rov Yishvei Aleah, and all the different things, you know, and we disregard the Doraisa, and we do what the rabbis, the Durbanans. But not now, when we don't have all that. Now we do the Doraisa, which is Mashu.
Why do we disregard the Doraisa?
I just wanted to...
There are many people on the Yishuv, at least there are some people on the Yishuv, who give the Trumas Maaser right to the Kohen. If I were to do that, I could just take any amount.
So, you give the Truma portion to the Kohen?
They give some portion straight to the
right.
Kohen.
Right, so no portion should be given to the Kohen. Mamash. It's awesome to give anything to the Kohen today. There's few small examples of what you can give to the Kohen. For example, Shemin Tome for Hadlaka, you can give to the Kohen. You can give to a Kohen Truma for the purpose of Achilas Behema. If he has dogs, for example, or animals, then you can give him Truma for feeding his animals. Because he can get Hono from Truma, but he can't actually eat it because he's Tumas Meis. And because he's Tumas Meis today, he can't eat it. And if he does, it's Misa B'dei Shemayim. Anyone who eats Truma today, Truma, and it's true, something that was designated as Truma, has a din of Misa B'dei Shemayim on his head or her head.
If they eat it.
If they eat it, yeah. So for example, the Jerusalem Zoo has one of the owners as a Kohen. So Tnuva has an arrangement with them that all of their Truma that's separated out is brought over to the zoo and fed to the animals. So that's permitted. But in our situation, it is absolutely usur to give anything that has a designation of Shem Truma to any Kohen whatsoever. That's really important to know.
Yeah, because I'm talking about the former Rebbetzin of the show. But maybe I didn't understand what you mean.
It could be, yeah. Maybe you're thinking about Maaser Rishon, which we'll get to next, yeah? Now, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash also, you'd have to give Yofi versus the Ra. Yeah, so you'd have to give from the best of your portion to the Kohen, which would be, you know, one of the percentages that I talked about, either, you know, 1 in 50 or 1 in 40 or 1 in 60, and it would have to come from the best of your crop. So that's Truma Gedola. Maaser Rishon, yeah.
So the first thing, you have your crop, it's in the storehouse, you don't even touch it, you don't do anything, the first thing you do is take off
the first thing you have to do is you have to separate Trumas and Maaser. This is the portion that you're
doing. But I'm saying before you even get to the Truma and separating of the Truma and Maaser, you're taking off, what's the first one?
Truma Gedola.
Truma Gedola.
Yeah.
That's the first
gift that comes off.
And you give that to who, if not to the Kohen?
So, right, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we're doing now the scenario at the time of the Beis HaMikdash to see what's changed to what we do actually today. So the time of the Beis HaMikdash, let's say you would give, you know, 1 out of 40 Ayin Yofi, to the Kohen for the best of your crop. If you have 1,000 kilo of oranges, you would give, you know, 1 out of 40, whatever the amount comes to in kilo, of the best looking orange, the double A oranges, to the Kohen of your choice.
So you got to go through each orange to see which ones are the best ones?
You have to pick from the nicest of the oranges, yeah. You would have to pick from the nicest of the oranges. You don't have to study each and every one. You know, you're chush. If you're a farmer, you know this stuff instinctively. You know what looks great. You know pick from, you know, Kosh Baruch Hu will deal with if you didn't really pick the nicest one out of your 1,000 kilo. But if you do it with the right intent, and that's your Ratzon, is, you know, then you fulfill the mitzvah, the Mahadrim. So this was at the time of the, and you can give it to any Kohen that you want. If a Kohen knocks on your door and says, hey, you know, Mr. Levy, you know, or Mr. Gordon, can you please give me the Truma? You could say, I would, but I need to give it, you know, my neighbor is coming back from Chutz Lars tomorrow, and he's a Kohen, and I give it to him every year, every time, and it's going to him. Well, okay, fine. Well, keep me in mind, you know, that's, no problem.
I give it the office.
What's that?
You can divide it into two different economies, or you can give all to one.
You don't have to give all to one, as long as you have a group, let's say you have a 5 kilo of oranges, you can give, you know, 1 kilo to this Kohen, 1 kilo to that Kohen. It's not yours. You have, it belongs to the Kohen. So that's Truma Gedola. The next...
How exact are we with the measurements? In other words, if it's 39 oranges or 40 oranges...
So the Mishnah and Gemara goes into this. There's different ways. There's weighing, there's volume, and there's counting. These are the three different types of ways that you can... The best... The Gemara tells us the best way to do it is by weight, because that's the most exacting. Volume, first of all, picking one by one, you know, eyeballing it, so to speak, is mostly how we do it today. But that's okay. We could do it that way today. However, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we want it to be, you know, as more exact as much as possible. In Truma Gedola, it's not so important to be bidyuk exact, because the Gemara told us and the Torah told us that we can do mashu, something, whatever you want. It could be 1 grain in the silo, or it could be 100 kilo of grain from the silo. It could be almost as much as we want. We can give most of the silo of grain away, the Gemara tells us, if we want to. But so it doesn't have to be an exact number when it comes to Truma Gedola, and that applies for today as well. Maaser Rishon is a different story. Maaser Rishon, the Gemara tells us, that it has to actually be 10%. Can't be less than 10%. It can't be more than 10%. It has to be exactly 10%. So, you know, if we took off, let's say, from 100 apples, one apple as Truma Gedola, now we have to take off 10% of what remains. So we have 99 apples remaining. We take off 10%. What do we have remaining?
9.9.
That's 89.1 apples, right? Is that what it is, 89.1?
Yeah.
Right, 89.1 apples. So that's exactly 10%. We have to give exactly 10%. At the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so when we want to give an exact number, how are we going to do it? Well, we better weigh it out, because that's the most exacting way to get to 10%. However, the Gemara says you can also do it with volume. If you have, for example, a basket that you know exactly is a certain volume, which many times they did, because back then we didn't have like, you know, they did measurements also by volume. So this was also common back then. So you could do by volume, and if you had to, because you didn't have a proper basket or you didn't have a way to weigh it out, so you can kind of pick out 10%, which means if you have 1,000 oranges, let's keep it simple, and you took off one to give to the Kohen, which is Truma Gedola, then you have to take exactly 10% of what's remaining. Trying to get to the same size. This was at the time of the Beis Hamikdash. You have to take out 10%.
We're taking exactly 3% today? Is that what you said?
No, at the time of the Beis Hamikdash.
Today,
you still have to take out 10% because the Gemara tells us. But it's slightly different today. Then you actually have to physically take out the 10% of what was remaining, and then you have to give it to a levy.
So if I'm doing it by counting, you know, the 100th of today, right? So I try to estimate, like, two little ones might equal a middle-sized one, or, you know, and compensate for the different sizes of the different items.
Yeah, so today it's a little bit different. I'll get to what we do today, actually, Lemaisa. I'm talking now what we did at the time of the Beis Hamikdash. So we would take out from what's remaining 10% and give it to the Levite. Now, the Levite...
Can we... say the mice what we do today as a category.
Sure, we can do that.
I mean,
you're not going to be able to follow that up.
Anyway.
Sure, no problem. So today with Truma Gedola, just to get back, so we start again at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, you give according to the 1%, 140, 150, 160. Today we give masha, we give something, any amount. So if you have 100 apples, you can give a little piece of the. Of the apple itself, and of one apple, a little piece of that one apple, and that'll be fine. The thing which says, time to basically that you have to give from the best of your crop. Today, you can give from the worst of your crop. More than that, if you have one apple, hypothetically, or anything, that is even questionable whether it's edible, but you would say, you know what, bashas ad chak perhaps, or, you know, I know my mom, you know, my bubby would eat it, you know, for sure, as you know. She eats stuff. Her time much worse looking than this. Yeah. So, you know, no problem. You can even take that today. So, for example, sometimes we see, you know, you take off some fruit from a tree, and you say, "Wow, these are beautiful." And there's like one that fell on the floor. You know, he's got already like a couple, you know, brown on one side, and you know the other side's looking pretty okay. You know, so he's like, "Yeah, if I cut that outside, I would eat it." You get from that.
It's a wormhole.
That's what you get from. That's today. Why? Because at the end of the day, you throw in the garbage.
You don't give it to anybody. You just throw it out.
You have to wrap in a bag, because you have to distract. What's that? You can bury it. You can keeping it simple, because if you bury it, all of a sudden, you know, you're keeping it around too long until you actually get to burying it. You know, it's like hanging around in its true mind. You know, you want to get rid of that stuff as fast as possible. Because Misa B'day Shemaim, you don't want to actually be nichshal anybody. So just put it in a bag, put it in the garbage, and that'll be fine. It's not like Shvi stuff. Shvi stuff, maybe you have to let rot a little bit, and even then, you know, lichatrila, bedyevet, or lichatrila, you can put it in a double wrap, whatever, single wrap bag, you can throw in the garbage, whatever.
This here.
Single wrap it, just throw in the garbage.
And that's better than keeping it till it rots.
It's better than keeping it. You don't have to let it rot. There's no obligation for it to rot. It's not like perishvis. It has a different din than shemitah produce.
Now, some people say you can take things like the pits or the stem or the leaves that nobody eats. Is that correct? Can you go that far?
No, because it's not called ochel. People don't eat stems, people don't eat leaves, and people don't generally eat the flowers or any other part. They eat the fruit or the vegetable. So,
let's say you have something like grapes and grape leaves. Do you have to like do things separately on them? Grape leaves, people eat that.
Right. So people do eat the grape leaves, and then you would have to separate that.
But
separately.
You have to separate the grapes right. And grape leaves before you do any sort of
yes.
Picking them
and yes. And you would separate them. You would separate them preferably separately. And if you don't separate them, do trim separately for each one. Kol min al mino, let's say, for example, as you would say in the Nusach, then you can separate the grapes itself onto the leaves, but not the leaves onto the grapes. You can't take a leaf as truma and say, I'm separating this leaf, and I'm going to putter now to cover the grapes itself. You can't do that. Maybe the grapes, You can do it. There's a big vikuach today about the yellow, about red tomatoes and green tomatoes. If you can separate the green tomato onto the red tomato before it's fully ripe, there's all different achronim of the ash. It's a big balagan. Kitsu, that's how you do it. You separate from the grapes onto the leaves if you need to. Yeah. Now my serishan today, so we don't give. Now there's two parts of my serishan. Even back at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there's the separating out my serishan. There's the shame. I'm calling this my serishan, this produce. And then there's the second mitzvah, which is called netinas my serishan. Actually giving, because the Torah tells us you have to give the my serishan to the levy. Now today we have to, when we separate chumas and meiser, we have to obviously call the produce, the shame meiser rishon. We have to designate certain portion of the produce as meiser rishon. Now, most people today don't give to the Levite. And the reason for that is because a motzi b'chavro lav levi raya is that in order to take away mamona, something that belongs to me, that has value, that's worth something, you have to prove your levy. And today we just don't trust the word of the Levite that he's a true levy. And therefore, we're not obligated to give Maaser Rishon to the levy. Number one.
Well, if you knew somebody though.
If you wanted to give to the levy, then you would probably fulfill the mitzvah of Netinas Maaser Rishon to the Levite.
Are you obligated to to determine some kind of hakira? He's really a levy? If you know a guy to be the levy, he's your friend, he's a levy.
Right.
I give it to him.
So you're saying to me, hold a second. If you're going to give to a levy because you have a mitzvah of the tina, but you don't have to because you don't really believe he's a levy. So how can you even get the ma'aser rishon lechatchila? So there's an answer to that. It's because it's not mamon gevoah. It's ma'aser rishon. Everybody can eat. It doesn't have a special kedusha that somebody else can't enjoy, take benefit from. As in Israel, I can benefit from ma'aser rishon. No problem. Lechatchila, without any sfeikot, mina Torah, I can do that. Unlike truma portion. Now, the only thing is that within, encapsulated within the Maaser Rishon, is hidden there another little gift, which is called Trumas Maaser. So buried within the portion of Maaser Rishon is a portion that now has to be designated back to the Kohen. So we have a problem, because we have something that's called truma, which is Usur Lekula, even in our time, it's even Usur to the Kohen, buried inside the portion of Maaser Rishon that has to be separated out. So the next portion is called Trumas Maaser, after Maaser Rishon. This will be separated once we designate Shem of the produce, Maaser Rishon, then we have to take another 10% of that Maaser Rishon portion, which is overall 1% of the overall amount. Why? Because 10% of Maaser Rishon is really, and 10% of that is Trumas Maaser, which makes it 1% of the total amount that we have. So if we had 9.9 apples that we took out as Maaser Rishon, we have to give 10%, which is 0.99 apples, to the Kohen. Or today, we don't give it to the Kohen, as I said, and it's put aside with the Truma Gedola.
But on the measurement itself, so now if you're working with small trees that you have, orange tree, and you have 50 oranges,
right,
there's going to be fractions here. So are you obligated to then try to keep it, to make it up to 10% by cutting one of the orange into two-thirds or whatever comes out to into a half, or take a piece, or just throw another orange to cover the cover you can get you at least to 10%, even though you might be 10.2%. How exactly?
Right, so I'll tell you. Today, the Nusach was set up by the Chazon Ish. It's based on a Rambam, whatever. The Chazon Ish kind of molded the Nusach that you have in your Siddur. Today, in every Siddur, you have a Nusach of Rosh Hashanah and Maaser. He designed it to make it really, really easy to separate in the most, in the common cases, at least, let's say, because there are many ways to modify that Nusach. But let's say in the most common case that we're talking about, which is you have your 50 oranges, and you're not going to give it to the Levite. You're not going to separate the Maaser Rishon portion to physically give it to the Levite. You're just going to, because it's not Mamon Gevoah, and you can also gain benefit from Maaser Rishon, and you don't have to give Maaser Rishon to Levi. So it's kept inside the fruit. You don't actually have to physically separate it out. And the Nusach that we'll see after actually is arranged that way, that you don't physically take out the Maaser Rishon portion. But you have to understand all of these gifts and how they're arranged. Really, there's a machlokis. How much do you really have to understand of this whole separation of Trumas and Maaser to make you kind of, you know, eligible to separate, to be someone to separate? Or do you have to know nothing? You just read the thing. You have, oh, Truma Gadola. Oh, no, oh, Truma Gadola. Maaser Rishon, I never heard of it until I read it. And even when I read it, I didn't know what I was talking about. You know, is that enough to be, you know, Yotzi? Or do you have to know a little bit more, like we're explaining today? So most boys can say that if you know nothing about it, doesn't matter what you do. Zelocha. Your separation doesn't work. You need to know something about what you're doing on a very basic level in order for it to really be, because if you have no kavana or understanding whatsoever, it's like you did nothing. So here, what we're trying to do today is give you a little bit of connection to how to do it, what you're doing, and then a few other things that we'll try to get into if we have the time, because it's very complex stuff and there's a lot to know. I've been writing a book now for many, many years on Trumas and Maaser in English. Baruch Hashem. It's a shoot, question and answers. There's hundreds and hundreds of questions and answers that hopefully will come out by next year, B'zat Hashem, God willing. And there, you know, answer all the different questions you might have about, you know, Trumas and Maaser in the garden and on a vacation. You know, you have your little Ahmed stand over there with selling watermelons, and the kids are like, yeah, let's buy a watermelon, you know, cherries or strawberries. You're like, no, it's an Ahmed over there. Was in a, like, can you stop? Can you not stop? You know, your workplace, for example, in Tel Aviv. You know, they bring a lot of fruits and vegetables, and you're like the only religious. You're tucking in your tzitzis, you know, and making sure to try to fit in. You know, put your you know, Tel Avivian hat on to make sure to cover your kippah. You know, whatever. I'm just saying, like, what do you do with this stuff? So, it's very important to have basic knowledge.
So, if you are going to give it to a lady, then how exactly have to be in the 10%?
So after you take off your, let's say, 1 out of 100 apples for your Truma Gadola, then you have to go out and separate 9.9 apples. Now, if you separate 10, like, okay, I'm trying to make it so that I'm looking at all the size of big, you know, big oranges and really small oranges, and I have medium-sized oranges. So you're trying to work it out the best you can. I don't have a basket that I can rely on in terms of volume. I don't have a weight measurement system anywhere. I got to get this stuff separated. You do your best to estimate, you take 10, you do your best to estimate, and when you're separate Trumas and Maaser, you have to change the nusach from your sidur a little bit. That's why I don't recommend that you actually take out the Maaser Rishon portion, because the sidurim and any other place where you'll see a nusach of Hafrash Trumas and Maaser will not deal with the case of you actually physically separating out Maaser Rishon. It'll be for a different type of situation, what's in the Sidur and what's in all the Sidurim. So unless you become more of a bucky at how to say the Nusach properly, then I would avoid taking out the Maaser Rishon portion at this point until you become much more knowledgeable.
We don't have to take all Maaser Rishon.
You don't. You have to call shame Maaser Rishon. And when we go through the Nusach, I'll explain to you the Nusach and you'll see what we're doing and it'll make a lot more sense then. But this is just giving you the basic framework knowledge.
Would it make sense sometimes to change the amount of trumos that you're taking so that it makes it easier to take an exact maaser?
You can. You can, but you're throwing it away.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of chaval.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying there is an option, even if you do take out the maaser rishon, to do it by counting as best as you can. Again, if you have Shem Shemaim in your heart, then it's Mekubal, you know, B'Shemaim. So it's fine. So that's the Maaser Rishon part, and then after that,
you're taking a bunch.
Huh?
Let's say you're the hypothetical case where you work in a company for a company in Tel Aviv,
right?
And you want,
with your hat and your scissors right. Tucked in, okay.
And you want one apple, you know, like it's you're not taking 100 apples,
right?
People would get upset,
right? so there's a way to get around that, and I'll try to get to that, you know, soon, and you'll see it's actually quite relatively simple, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, now. After we took out, let's say, the Maaser Rishon portion, or we didn't physically take it out, but we called the shame in our nusach, we got to the Maaser Rishon portion, and we said, this is Maaser Rishon in here. Then we have to, from the Maaser Rishon portion, we have to take out Trumas Meiser, we can, if we actually physically take out the Meiser Risha portion, the 10 apples, let's say, in your case, then we take one apple, and then we put it along with that little piece of apple that had the worms on the other side, you know, that little piece of edible part, we put it along with that, and that's now together the Trum portion, Truma Gedola and Trumas Meiser together, and that stuff has to be put into a bag, and then disposed of. Today, with the Nusach, you'll see after, it's slightly different, because we don't actually physically separate the Meiser Rishon portion, and we do physically separate out the Trumas Meiser portion. We'll go over this after, and you'll see exactly how it's done, and I'll explain it to you along the way, and you'll see it's actually quite understandable. Let's just...
You said the Truma has to be put in a bag and then thrown out?
Yes.
Just one layer, and that was it?
Yeah.
If you don't do it, it's Meiser Rishon Shemayim?
If you eat it.
Oh, if you eat it.
If you eat it, yeah.
Oh, if you eat it.
Yeah. Now, just to make one thing clear is that ideally, preferably and halachically, when you separate Trumas and Meiser, everything should be here in front of you on the table and you don't touch it. Once you start separating Trumas and Meiser, you don't all of a sudden, like as you're separating, you know, reading the Nusach, as you know, as we do when we dub, you know, we're like kind of, you know, half on the phone, half whatever we're doing, thinking about our next business trip or what we were, whatever our wife said to us or whoever said to us. You know, you don't start moving stuff around. You just don't touch. Once you start, don't touch it. And there's a reason for that, because you designate the different portions exactly where they are. And if you start moving it around, then you're causing a bilbul of the gifts. And then you might separate accidentally after that the Meiser Rishon that you call Trumas Meiser and Meiser Sheni that you call Truma Gedola. So you don't touch anything once you start
saying it, or does that mean like lock your kids in the other room?
Yeah, meaning while you're saying it, make sure nobody touches anything on the table. If you have them in plastic bags, yeah, you went into your tree, you threw them all in plastic bags, and you brought them in the house. Here you go, you threw them on the table. You just open up the bags like this, and then that's good enough. You don't have to actually dump them on the table. Now, you do want to take them out on the table in general. If you know you have less than 100 apples, oranges, then for sure, then that's okay. But if you have, you know, questionably, if you have 100, this week, for example, I picked about 175 lemons off of a tree. So I had to count exactly how much I had, because I had to get a little bit more than 1% for the Truma Gedola and Trumas Meiser portion, which we'll get into that shortly. So there I had to actually count how many I had in order that I make sure that I don't undercut the Truma portions, yeah? But if you know for sure I have like 20 oranges off the tree, then you can keep them in the bag and you don't actually count them physically and set them on the table. If you do the Trumas and Meiser separation the way the Siddur tells you to.
In this example, you had 175 lemons from the tree.
Yeah.
You couldn't have just said, okay, there's about 200 lemons here, let me take 20 lemons?
No.
No?
It's hard for me to eyeball whether I have 175, 201, or, you know, 189. I don't want to eyeball. You know, when you're talking about, you know, I have under 100, let's say under 50, you know, you can see, you kind of eyeball with your eyes. You can almost count like groups of 10. You're like, I have like about 30 or 40 or 50 maximum. Okay, that's fine. But once you get over 100 or close to 100, you really should count to make sure that you don't bypass the minimum threshold of a little bit more than 1%, which we'll get into very shortly. I'm going to go to my car right after this. We're going to get the Tevel, and then after that we'll deal with more questions. And there's so much to know here, really. But let's just continue, and then we'll actually physically do it together. The next portion is called Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni is given in year of the Shemitah cycle, year number 1, 2, 4, and 5. What's Meiser Sheni? Meiser Sheni is a gift that Kosh Baruch Hu gave to us, the person who actually grew the food. And the intent there is actually really beautiful. Is you take this produce, and you, during your regal, you come up to Yerushalayim, and then you have food when you get into Yerushalayim, and then you have a lot of food, let's say, because, you know, Meiser Sheni is 10% of what now remains after you take off Meiser Rishon. So you can imagine, now that we have 89.1 apples, that's what we had left from our original count, right? So now I take 10% off that, which is how much?
8.91.
Right. So that's a lot of apples. Now the obligation for Meiser Sheni is that, you know, is that you have to eat it in Yerushalayim, B'tahor. So that's great. You go for the regular, you have tons of food. You don't really have, I mean, more than just tons of food for yourself. Tons of food to, you know, have huge parties every night. you know, as you enjoy the festive regal. So it's a really wonderful thing. Now, what say you? Let's say you live far away from Yerushalayim, and no, you know that your stuff is going to rot before you get to Yerushalayim. So the Torah tells us, you know, Ma'aser Sheh is actually a really complex mitzvah. Of all of the portions of Trumas and Ma'aser, Ma'aser Sheni is the most complex and involves the most amount of halachas. And as soon as I start to delve deep into, you know, the Ma'aser Sheni portion and the redemption onto a coin and so on and so forth, I stopped owning my own coin. And I became a member of Karen and Meisters, which I'll talk about shortly. And all that stuff was off my chest. I didn't worry about anything. It was a real privilege that this organization set up exactly for called Redemption of Meister Shani. Because if you live far away from Yerushalayim, and you had to bring the food there to eat, and you knew it rot by time began, and that's 8.91 apples. That's a lot of apples. And if you have thousands of them, that's a lot of dozens and hundreds of apples. So what did the Torah tell us to do is that you can redeem the kedusha that's embedded in this produce, and you can, by verbally saying a nusach, you can now transfer the kedusha from the fruit or the vegetable, what is the fruit, the produce, onto a coin. Now the coin will not rot and it will not decay. It'll last you until you get to Yerushalayim for sure. Then you have to spend it there on food, drink, or or anointment, or even korbanos. Yeah. So that's the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Today we can't eat Ma'aser Sheni because of we're not tahor. We're all tamei. And one of the criteria to eat Ma'aser Sheni, first of all, A, you have to be in Yerushalayim. So what exactly is the boundaries of Yerushalayim? We're talking about the old city for sure. There's a shaila exactly where outside the old city, how far is it reach to David's village? Does it reach how far even out to Arzei Bira? You know, there's a suffix. They found some remnants out there and we're not exactly sure. But let's say for sure in the old city is considered, you know, Yerushalayim. Not other parts that we would call Il Yerushalayim today. What? That's not that. It's we're talking about the time of the base of Migdash. That's what's Koveya Yerushalayim even today. But even today, even if we were to have, for example, in the old city, you bring vegetables or fruits into the old city, I should say, and you want to eat it there, you can't because you're tummy. So you can't eat even Ma'aser Sheni today inside by the Kotel.
So here we don't hold it like by Purim, say where they.
No. You know, we don't hold by Purim, where if you can see the Yerushalayim, whatever. No, you don't.
What do we call Sheshav exactly? In other words, it's not Zman Beis Hamikdash today. So then, why are we choshish for Ma'aser Sheni?
To eat it, we can't, because we're tummy. Meaning, even if you're going to take the produce to the Kotel Maravi, taking it to the Western Wall.
After we're at home and we separate out. Ma'aser Rishon.
Right.
So then I've got the remainder there, and I'm going to take from that 10% for Ma'aser Sheni.
Right.
What am I going to do with that Ma'aser Sheni?
So today we don't actually we don't separate out Ma'aser Sheni today. Just like we physically don't separate out Ma'aser Rishon, we physically don't separate out Ma'aser Sheni. What we do is we automatically, and this is what's built in the Nusach of the Chazon Ish, we automatically redeem it onto a coin. Now, the only thing about that coin is that now that the Kedusha is in the coin and the Peros are now Hulin, man, you can eat those, what was once considered Ma'aser Sheni produce, you can now eat it because it no longer contains the Kedusha of Ma'aser Sheni. This coin does. You can't take the coin, go into Yerushalayim, and go to the shuk there and buy something with it, yeah? Even if it was food.
We're talking about nowadays.
Even nowadays. You have to destroy it. Erev Pesach of Shana Revis and Shviz. You have to do what's called Bir Ma'aser Sheni, which is also a mitzvah of the Torah. Is biur, you have to actually biarti a ma'aser min habayis, and you have to get rid of that coin, and there are many different ways to do it. I've done.
You then transfer the kedusha from the coin to something else to destroy it, or has,
no, you can do it. As I say, it's very complex because you know what coin do you use? You use 50 agorot. You use a shekel. Use 5 shekel, 10 shekel piece. See, every time you redeem a pruta's worth. See, at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when you redeemed onto a coin, you have to redeem b'shovya. If you had 100 apples that are considered Maaser Sheni, and the shuk value of 100 apples was 10 shekel, you had to actually physically separate those 100 apples onto the market value of 10 shekels worth. But today, Chazal tell us, we learn that you can actually, it's enough to separate 100,000 shekels worth of Maaser Sheni produce onto a single pruta. Now I checked today that a pruta is about 6 agurot. That's what a pruta is worth today. It's 1/40th of gram of pure silver. That's what a pruta is. Which today came to 65 US cents. Converted is about 2-point-something shekels. Divided by 40, you get the value of a pruta, single pruta today, which comes to about 0.0605 agurot. That's the value of a pruta today. Now, let's say you took 50 agurot to make your redemption coin. How many prutas do you have in there?
Eight.
You have, let's say, 8 prutas. Now, you can, meaning that you can separate 8 times onto that coin. Once you get to 8 times, the coin is full. If you try to separate more, it won't collect. There won't be any klita. And therefore, it's like you've done nothing. And then what you thought was a redemption is not a redemption. Your Maaser Sheni is still in your fruit, is still locked into the produce that you have, and you're there enjoying, telling everyone that you separated Chumas and Maaser, Kedin, Bekadat, and meanwhile everyone's eating Maaser Sheni, and Oy Vavoy. It's very complicated. Almost about 25% of my book is just dealing with Maaser Sheni and the redemption of the coin. It's an extremely complicated. Now, you have to also, well, what about, all of a sudden, silver jumps. Value of silver jumps right up. Oh my God. What was once 6 agurot is now 15 agurot. Oh my God. Well, what happens? I mean, it's so complicated. What do I do with my coin? I had room, and now I don't have room, and perhaps, so, now, what is that? There's also, more than that, there's also different dargas of chiyuv. For example, the Torah tells us that grain, vine, and olive are chayev, so to speak, deraisa. This is the highest order, the highest level of produce that the Torah talks about, is grain products, meaning the 5 dagonim, that are also machmits, that are also good for, that are also usher, if they machmits for Passover, and so on and so forth. And then grape product, which could be either grape juice or grapes themselves or wine, and then olives, which could either be table olives or olive oil. So this is the highest level, right? So I'm sure many of you heard of something that's called a pruta chamura. Now what's a pruta chamura? So pruta chamura is that when you actually have a brand new coin. Let's see if I have a coin in my pocket. Let's see what I have here. All right, I have a 10 shekel. Now, this is 10 shekels. I can use it anywhere I want. I can buy anything I want with it. I want to designate this 10 shekels now to be my redemption coin. Now, I want this lechatrila to be a pruta chamura, what's called a pruta chamura. Pruta chamura means that the first redemption I did onto this coin was from the highest level of produce, which is one of the 3 things I mentioned, of the grain, oil, olive, and grape categories. The reason for that is because from here I can separate onto, I can redeem onto this coin any lower level of produce that I want, which would be then the rest of the fruits, and then vegetables, and then herbs that are obligated in Trumas and Maaser. Now, but what happens if this was not a pruta chamura? The first time I separated onto this coin something was tomatoes from my garden. great. I had tomatoes as the first kind of kedusha that came onto this coin. Now this coin is my Meister Sheni coin, which I'm now going to wrap up. I'm going to put into a special place in my cabinet with my, you know, with my silver for Shabbos and with my Esrog container and whatever else I have there that's special for me and the kids are not going to touch. And I have my Meister Sheni coin there. And all of a sudden, I one day plant a vineyard. And I had some grapes. And now I made some wine. And I had to separate Chumas and Meister. And I said, whoa, I have a 10 shekel coin. I only separated about 35 times. I have another 100 and something frutas left here. Great, let's separate. Let's redeem Meister Sheni. It's a Meister Sheni here. It's the first or second or fourth or fifth years. Let's do it. Nope, can't do it. Because you've set the level of that coin under the level of the higher grape or wine. So if I make this starting at the highest level, I could separate anything underneath it, which is all the rest of the produce that come out of our garden, including other types of fruit and other types of vegetables and parsley and lettuce and so on and so forth. Now the other thing too is, let's say I separate tomatoes. So you know what? I'm not going to ever have any of those three things. Grain, grape, or olive. Never. And I want to separate just vegetables that I have in my garden. Great, okay, you made a coin, you started with tomatoes. Now one day I go into my garden and I said, I just need one lemon off that tree. I just need one lemon. I mean, I don't need a whole bunch of lemons. I need one lemon, that's all. So I take a lemon off the tree. I have to separate chumas and maaser even off one lemon. But what's happened now? The problem that is that the Meister Sheni portion of that lemon, because it's a Meister Sheni here, so the Meister Sheni portion of that lemon, that 10% after the Meister Rishon, is worth less than a pruta. It itself is worth less than a pruta. Now all of a sudden, that low level can't handle the lack of the fact that I want to separate, can't absorb that separation, that redemption, that's something that's less than a pruta's worth. But if I had a higher level, like these three things I talked about from the Torah, then it can absorb even a one lemon whose Meister Sheni portion was worth less than a pruta. So I really want this coin, if I started it at home, to be what's called a pruta chamura. Which means that you have to either get grain that belongs to you and that you did gemar melacha. And the reason why I said it has to belong to you, because this coin, ultimately, like I said, you have to grow the stuff, and it has to also be, Gemar Malach has to be done by you. And you also have to own the coin, by the way. It has to be your coin. So, for example, if you separate, there's a knas, it's a kind of knas for redeeming it, because it's not really the highest level. The highest level is really to take the produce and eat in Yerushalayim. So Chazal kind of instituted a knas. Actually, the Torah did, you know, for korbonos, you have to add a choymish onto it. You have to add a fifth from the outside, meaning not 20% of 100, but rather 25% of 125 of 125. So if you have like 100%, you have to add the choymish from the outside, as if it was 1/5, including the 1/5. So it's like it'll be 25%. If you say, Dan, I just don't have a coin. I don't have a coin. And I have so much produce. Can I use your coin to redeem? It's going to be one time. No problem. You can use my coin. But you don't add the chomesh. Now, that's not in the nusach, yeah? So, it's right. To own your own coin, and there's a lot of other nikshalim, a lot of other problems when you own your own coin that you don't know about that may cause your separation to be nullified or to be teful b'maaser sheni, as they say. And it's not worth it. It's not worth today, unless b'shas hadchak, unless you become a baki, to own your own coin. L'chatchila, what you want to do is you want to take this number down, it's 02648. I'm serious. 8888.
There are two, from what I can tell.
It's a bunch of eights.
02648888.
They're two what? Yes, they're both acceptable.
Two different names, so it's very.
Yeah. They're both acceptable. Yeah.
I got a call from one saying, "You didn't join us this year." I said, "Yes, I did." It turns out apparently I joined the other.
You joined the other one, right? Machot Torus Laris, yeah. There's two. There's. Yeah.
They're both okay.
Yeah, I don't know the other center's phone number. I'm just giving you the phone number of Karen Amisris. Karen Amisris is Rav Efrati's Meiser Sheni Redemption Karen. And this answers now your question in Tel Aviv, is that if you become a member, which is a small fee of 60 or 80 shekels for 2 years, something like that, it's not much, they send you all the information, and you just like, you know, pick up their pamphlet, and you just, you know, you don't have to worry about a call, you don't have to worry about anything, you just read what they say, and it's so easy, it's done, and you're done. It's like grapes, tomatoes, parsley, whatever. It doesn't. You're done. It's so easy. You don't have to think about it. Yeah. So I'm a member, for example, of Karen and Meisters. I'm not going to dare have my own coin, even though I'm kind of a bucky in this stuff, because it's just too scary for me. There's too many places to go wrong, and I don't want to risk it anymore. The more I learned about it, the more I moved away from owning my own coin. I used to own all my own coins. I have coins in the Dead Sea. I have coins with holes in them that I put on a little necklace. Everything. I have coins, and I don't have them anymore.
Can you
I don't.
Walk in the bathroom with those coins?
What's that?
Can you walk in the bathroom with those coins?
No. Once you do beer, it's like you pakabi,
garbage
coins. Yeah, because it's no longer. You can't do score with it.
Before you do beer, is there a kedusha to the coin itself?
Yeah, for sure.
So then you can't take it into the bathroom.
You can't do many. You can't spend. You can't use it for commerce. I haven't thought about that, but probably not. I can imagine. Interesting. Can you take my? Maybe not.
I said jewelry for my wife one time, and it was like a little plastic, and they said, "Don't do it," because then you can't go in the bathroom with it.
Right. So probably not. Yeah. So
Shemaya Soil pendencies you run around.
That's interesting. So 02648-8888. Join up, and your life is a lot easier.
Is there a website? That phone call. I say when I read the stuff, I say, put the kedusha on the coin or whatever Karen that I have.
Nahon, that's it. Whatever it's written there.
No, but I don't know which one it is anymore. But
Oh no, that's important. You should know which one it is because it's specific of the nusach that you're saying specifically the coin that's situated by that particular keren.
I say the coin of the keren that I belong to.
That's fine. See, you're already making up your own nusach.
Yes.
No, it's very good because once you become more of understanding, you have to make up a lot of your own nusach as well.
But if you have to own the coin, how do they work it out that we all own the coin?
I don't understand.
You don't own the coin.
You have to be owning the coin. You can't use your friend's coin.
You can use your friend's coin, but you don't add the chomesh. You don't add the fifth. So, for example, when you become a member of Karen Amisris,
it's better.
You don't add a fifth. In the nusach, you don't say hu vechumsho. Hamaiser sheni. You would say hamaiser sheni hu vechumsho for your own. You don't say that. You say hamaiser sheni and the chule.
If you do say hu vechumsho, that's a problem. That would then like.
If you say hu vechumsho, start again. If you catch yourself. If you're done, then b'di'avad, you're okay. Because you made the mistake at a sleight of tongue, not because, once you become knowledgeable of you, of course, I mean, if you realize you would have not said it, you know, you didn't really mean to say it, you just kind of, your mouth was going without really having full concentration, or you just kind of, whatever the reason is. But now that you know, if it's somebody else's coin, you don't have to say the chumash. But if you know you had to say the chumash, you thought you had to say the chumash, and you believed in the chumash, and with everything you had, kavona, then you have a problem, and you have to redo the redemption.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just to go back to the valuation of the coin thing you're talking about, you give the example like if it becomes worth more, then maybe you have extra thing on there, but I'm more interested in going the other way, all of a sudden it starts becoming less. Does that mean the stuff you already had on that coin is like, I don't know, like, after the fact, it's no longer good on that.
No,
coin
whatever's on the coin is on the coin. That's fine. Meaning, if the value goes up and all of a sudden it bumps out your last two redemptions, so to speak, because the value went up, it's there. It's okay. You just can't use the coin anymore if you had, let's say, two more spots. That's all. It's just the initial value. The initial value. The real nafkamina is your initial value of the pruta. that you put onto your coin is that if it's from a higher darga, then it would be okay. But a lower darga is a problematic. There's a lot of details here that, you know, we just don't have the time to get into, and there's so much more, but we're not going to be able to get to it. So I really want to get actually separate in Shumas and Mai, so you get to see how it's done with the Nusach, understand what we're doing, so you get to do it properly. And I think that'll be the best thing we could do from here, even though there's so much more material and so much more examples to talk about. In the third and sixth year, that's called Maaser Ani. Maaser Ani today is really Doraisa. You must separate out Maaser Ani. Now you say to yourself, hold on a second. I just took out one lemon from my garden, and I took out 10%, which is the Maaser Ani. So instead of Maaser Sheni, you're taking now 10%, it's called Maaser Ani, which if we go back to our 100 apples case, we took out one for Truma Gedola, 10, we had 8.9, we took out now another 10%, it's 8.91 apples of the 100 that are called Maaser Ani. I mean, I don't know an Ani that's going to take that. Maybe they will. You know, I've given Maaser Ani before in the base medrash. There are lots of, you know, pretty poor kolul guys there. So I brought in and separated out Maaser Ani, and I gave to them actual bread. I've given Levi, you know, his portion as well, which is fine. You can. Sometimes with the Trumas Maaser inside, sometimes without the Trumas Maaser inside. You have to tell him, listen, I didn't separate the Trumas Maaser, so you go ahead and Levi and do it. It's either a higher level of separating Trumas and Maaser. You have to know really how to do it. He has to be like, oh, yeah, no problem, I'll separate the Trumas and Maaser. It's the Korei Shem, b'chule, b'chule. But if you say, you know, I just take a one lemon from my garden and I have Maaser Ani here, which is like a little sliver of lemon, like nobody's going to want, no Ani's going to want this. So what you could do is it's best to have somebody, again, if you're a member of Karen and Maaseris, it's all taken care of. Life is easy. Life is good. So I highly suggest become a member. It's well worth it. Believe me. But if you're not, and you need to find a way to do Netinas Maaser Ani, because why? It's Mammon. You're now a shaliach. If you don't give the money, what's that called? Gonav. You're the pashut. You're called a gonav. If you don't give Maaser Ani, you're called a gonav. But there's ways to give, and it's so complex as well, how to give. Let's say you have, ideally, the gabbai of the Beit Knesset, yeah? So who is in charge of collecting... Is there a gabbai here? Who would be in charge of collecting money for the poor? So you're now a shaliach on behalf of a given set of poor families that you collect for. So now, if let's say the lady here in the back would have a lemon, and you figure the 10% has a market value of approximately, I don't know, let's say 50 agurot, yeah, hypothetically. So you give now to the gabbai, you know, I separate this out as Maaser Ani, yeah, because I know the Ani wouldn't want a little sliver of lemon. And I put, instead of that sliver of lemon, 50 agurot, which is kind of what I valued it to be. Or if I have 8.91 apples, I kind of valued it at, in market value terms, as you could do it the least market value if you want also. Let's say you just don't have money and you have to do the mitzvah. You yourself are kind of on the poor side, but not considered an ani gomer, but you know, every shekel matters. And you know, so you can value it according to the lowest market value rate. You're not obligated to do something muhudar, yeah? However,
shift like an hour before Shabbos sort of thing?
What's that?
Put out the rate like the shift of an
hour. Yeah, you could do that, no problem. However, if you physically give the pears, you have now 50 oranges, yeah? So what's interesting is that when you give Maaser Ani, you actually have to give from the nicest of your pears. That's an obligation. Not like Truma, time of the base of Mikdash, but exactly like Truma, time of the base of Mikdash. Today, Maaser Ani, if you're going to give the peros, you have to give from the most mahudar of your peros to the Ani. If you don't give the peros, and you want to give money, because, you know, what is an Ani going to do? He doesn't want the peros. He wants money at the end of the day. So if I have like 50 oranges, whatever, nice double A grade oranges, I go, could cost, you know, maybe it's 25 shekels. So now I take 25 shekels and I give it to the gabbai, v'chule. Now, if I was a member of Karen and Maaseris, then life is easy again, yeah? It's all over there in your membership. Also the Maaser Ani, because they now do also Maaser Ani, yeah?
No, I give them, let's say, 50 shekels or something.
Right.
And they'll designate this
to the membership.
It's not just the membership.
It's not just, no, right. The membership, you determine how much money you want to put in the membership. I'm just, they'll explain to you everything over there. What I'm saying is that when you give them, there's many other, there's issue of shame, there's Indian of actual being a proper shaliach and the netinas. It's very complicated, you know, how exactly it's all done, the giving of the miser ani. But you're right, absolutely. But when you call them, they'll explain to you all that. Thank you for clarifying that, but you're absolutely right. But they'll explain to you all that exactly how to what it means when you want to become a member in the Maaser Ani portion, yeah?
But if you want to give directly, then you have to figure out the 10% after you take off the other 10%.
Correct.
You have to how exactly you have? Do you have to try to be exact?
You do your best that you can, yeah? If you know, for example, it's lemon season now. But when your lemons are in harvest, it means that all the farmers' lemons are harvestable also. Mm-hmm. And now we know that the lemon prices have gone down to whatever, six shekel a kilo, or seven shekel a kilo, or five shekel, whatever it is in the shulchan. You base it, you know, you do it based on that.
But if I take this lemon, and so I know he doesn't want to have a half a lemon or whatever, so I just give him two lemons because the rest of it's tzedakah. You can't do that?
Right, so what you have to say is that you have to say that the mice, you have to change the nusach a little bit at that point, because the mice are only is 10%. Uh-huh. You can't give more than 10%, because the Torah tells you, give 10%. Don't give 10% plus, because that's not called Maaser Ani. So you have to change the nusach a little bit, yeah? You have to say the Maaser Ani portion within these peros that you physically removed will be, you know, designated as Maaser Ani. So yeah, you have to change the nusach a little bit, yeah?
One more question, please, then I have to go.
Okay.
I've noticed in Shemitah that some fruits are Shemitah one year and some fruits are Shemitah the next year.
Right.
So that means that every year, let's say it comes to the third year, only some things are Maaser Ani and some things are Sheni, and this fourth year is going to have different things being Maaser Ani.
Right, so that was the next thing I was going to get into. There's a difference between fruits and vegetables, yeah? And if I can quickly go over that in exactly 2 minutes before you leave, and we finish the portion of what the gifts are, and then after I finish this next portion, we'll actually physically separate. This is very important, is what establishes the year in fruits and vegetables? Very simple. Fruits go after what's called chanata. Chanata is the time that the fruit tree comes into bloom, and those flower petals are just wilting, and in the center of the flower emerges the beginning of the fruit. At that moment in time, that's called chanata. Whatever the tarikh is, whatever the date is, depending on what it is, that'll establish the year. Now, what established the year for fruit and chanata is Tu Bishvat. It's Tu Bishvat. Now, this is where it gets complicated, for example. Now, so what happens is that next Rosh Hashanah, we're going to go into the third year, right? Technically speaking, the third year of the Shemitah cycle. Now, the shesek and the almond, and in some cases, peaches in other parts of Israel, especially in the south, the chanota, this flowering and the beginning of the fruit, will begin before Tu Bishvat. And if it begins before Tu Bishvat, it's considered second year produce still. And you separate on that produce, even though you pick it way later in the summer, even the end of the summer of the third year, you separate Maaser Sheni the second year. Because what's Koveya, the Maaseris, is Chanota and Tu Bishvat. And Chanota happened before Tu Bishvat. And therefore it goes after the previous year and not the next year. Now, most fruit, Chanota happens after Tu Bishvat. Apples, for sure, oranges and lemons and plums and apricots and pears and other, they all happen after Tu Bishvat. Pomegranates, olives, they all happen after Tu Bishvat. So after Tu Bishvat, next year will be the third year. You would separate Maaser Ani. Now, vegetables go after what's called Lakita, the time of picking. That's very important, because if you planted a vegetable, you planted a tomato plant in the middle of this coming summer, second year, Shemitah cycle, in, you know, 3 months before Rosh Hashanah, you planted a cherry tomato plant. Beautiful. It's growing wonderful. You're getting tons of tomatoes. In fact, you know, for your Rosh Hashanah table, you've, you know, all your cherry tomato salad is fresh from your garden. And then more than that, you still have tons of them green and ripening for Sukkot. And then even going all the way even to maybe Hanukkah. So what happens? You have the same cherry tomato plant that saw the end of this year, the second year, which is a Maaser Sheni year. And then it went in, Rosh Hashanah took place. The year is flipped now. We're in the third year of the Shemitah cycle. And now you're going to pick for Sukkot more cherry tomatoes. But it's the third year. It's a Maaser Ani year. So now you got to separate Maaser Ani on those that very same cherry tomato plant that just weeks earlier you were separating Maaser Sheni on. So vegetables goes after Lakita. This is Shaila. What happens if it was fully ripe before Rosh Hashanah and I only picked it really after Rosh Hashanah? So there, you know, there are Shailas. You can separate, some points you say you can separate Maaser Sheni, some people say, listen, it was ripe, I said that, but you still picked it in the third year. So you have to separate Maaser Sheni. Best to ask your Rav what he says to do because there's this Cholok B'Deos, yeah?
I spoke before about like... You can't use like you can't take the stems and leaves or whatever, right? Right. What about the peels? Because peels you also don't eat, but you're going to start talking about measuring the waste. There's a lot of waste sitting in the peels.
Right, so it has to be a portion. So you have to take off a portion of the edible stuff. Shkoya. You have to take a portion of the edible stuff. The peels are not considered food.
Waste, and you got to peel every orange you got there before you start.
No, because you figure that all the oranges have peels, and the peels are, you know, pretty much. You know, all the same weight, more or less. I mean, it's the peel is the peel, the same thickness, yeah, more
much,
or less.
How much is the weight of a peel?
I don't know.
Which room? You're lucky on this.
But it doesn't matter, because if you're doing everything with the peel, then it's the same as if you're doing everything without. I mean, it's the same proportions. So you don't have to worry that, you know, that you're... But the only thing is that if you're going to take out, let's say, the chuma portion, it can't be just the peel. You have to have a little bit more than 1%, ultimately, today, of edible food.
Say if I got one orange, so you got like
you have to actually peel it.
Little oranges that you've got that little peel at the bottom. It's like all that little another orange sitting in the
right, the little knot at the bottom over there. Yeah.
So you just give them that thing.
Yeah.
You one thing,
yeah. Well, I eat that, and if I don't swallow the whole thing, I chew on it and then spit out the fiber. No problem. Oranges are very complicated when it comes to Maaser, because you know if you're, for example, if you're in your garden. And oh, Shem, you just got, you know, one of my gardens, we have like 500 beautiful tangerines about this big, so juicy that when you peel it, it's like if you're not wearing a wetsuit, you're like covered in juice. It's great. I mean, I just, you know, you got to put goggles on to peel this thing. No, really, I'm telling you, I got my eyes burnt out from peeling oranges.
But it's with you today.
What's that?
It's one of the ones you brought with
you. No, I didn't bring it today. I brought lemons, pomelons, kumquats. So here I'm in this garden, and I don't want to really separate chumas and maaser. I just want to enjoy an orange right there as I'm working. So with most fruit that you eat at one time, like an apple, you can pick one apple in your garden and just eat it on the spot without separating chumas and maaser, right there in your garden. When it comes to citrus and other things like pomegranates in the fruit category or in the vegetable category like melons or watermelons, this has a different classification. You can't just pick one fruit and say I'm just eating achilas arai, what it's called, and I'm doing what's called achas, eating one at a time, because they consider the orange, what's the orange? The orange is really many oranges under one klipa, under one home. Each kelach, each piece, has its own separate casing, and that's considered an orange halachically unto itself. So, how do you eat an orange? Funny enough, and I've done this before, how do you eat an orange, achilles arai, in your own garden? Is while it's still attached to the branch, you peel the peel of the orange, and you start peeling one sliver of orange at a time, and you eat it that way. Now, that's what that's, huh?
You can manage that while it's attached to the branch?
Yeah, I've done it many times before. Well, I just did it two weeks ago. Right, I did it. Or you just separate chumas and maaser. And when it comes to apples and pears and apricots, you just take one whole fruit and you eat it on the side. But you only have to take one. The minute you take a second one, that all of a sudden a chotzer is koivel amaisrus, yeah? Meaning that the chotzer itself is your reshus hayochid, it's your private domain, and it makes the chiyuv of maisrus happen. And the minute you have two, it's no longer called achilas arai in your own garden. And you can now eat, if you pick another one, you say, I have one, two, I put on the side. Like, wow, it looks so yummy. Wow, I'm picking it, like the juice came out, and I'm so hungry, I just got to eat. And I know I got to pick about 20 more, and then I got to take it out. I'm going to eat one. I can't eat. I have to separate chumas and maisa now. I can't do anything about it. I've locked in the obligation to separate chumas and maisa.
If you have your kid right next to you, you pick one, and he wants one, so now you have to pick a second one.
He can pick another one. No,
so you're holding two now.
So you take one, and you give it to him.
If you're holding two, it's a problem. So you have to give it to him before you take the second?
What's that?
You have to give the first one to him before you take the second?
No. If you're taking it for him, just because he technically can't reach it, mm-hmm. you really don't have a badas that it's for you. Mm-hmm. It's for him. You're just a medium to pick it. So you can pick and give it to him, mm-hmm. and then he can eat a chilas arai. If you're five guys in the garden, you know, each one of you can have one fruit. But the minute you pick two, then you kovei the maestros. Let me get the fruits, the vegetables, the fruits in the car, and that's actually do a separate chumas and maaser, and you get to see how it all works out. Who's got some roots wrong hand? Now, remember what I say, if you're in your garden, all of a sudden, like, well, look at this pomelo. You know, I don't know about you guys, I can't eat a whole pomelo. So even if this wasn't in sections, like it was a watermelon in my garden, you know, that's something too big for me to eat by myself. Even if I pick one, it's not called achas achas. It's called achilis kva. It's called something that's, you know, that establishes a real meal and not a rye.
Wait, so
okay.
Amichai, you don't think there should be a plate here or something?
Yeah, come on, Amichai. We're going to make a mess in the shawl.
What kind of yucky guy are you?
It's okay.
Are
you kidding me? He's about to clean.
These tables have been waiting for this pomelo for years.
But so, it happens to be citrus is a great cleaner.
Yeah. Citrus is a great cleaner. They're going to come in tomorrow morning and say, wow, they cleaned up the shul.
Where do we find this stuff in the side?
It can either be at the end of the seder or it's going to be in the bracha section, towards the end of the bracha section.
For mincha?
Right, for mincha, yeah. Like around the sheva bracha area. Now, you see, if you're a member of Keren HaMaestros, you get many different presents from them. One of the things is a nice, you know, wallet-sized carry-on.
Well, like, all of this, you know? They don't have anything in English, though, right?
English and Hebrew, yes.
What?
Well, this one here is all in Hebrew, but they have an English and Hebrew. Yeah.
Really?
Okay. I think they're even doing French and Russian now, too.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. And even Spanish. English and Hebrew. No, just tell them, listen, can you send information in English? They'll send you all the publications in English. No problem. Even booklets. I was going to bring you guys today. I just never, the kids are home, as you all know, so we just couldn't get out to the basement yesterday.
But you were able to get to the field.
My workers.
The kids will go to the field.
What does that mean? Your worker? What do you do? What's this? Where do you get
these? I'm landscaping. We have a landscape company.
So these are from someone else's house.
Right, one of my customers. They gave me reshoes to fix when I want.
That's a plastic bag.
So now it belongs to me. It's mine. Did a mice kidney on it? It belongs to me.
Should we not be recording this section of the until we're ready to go?
Where?
What do you mean? Okay. Knowing where it's going to sit, I still haven't figured it out. But
you know where it is?
It's usually in the back of these, no?
That's, I don't know if it's in the back?
Yeah, like the second last page.
Here you go. Stay there for Shumas Mice, yeah? Now, overall, the Nusach is pretty much the same, whether it's my card or your. That Nusach was set up by the Chazon Ish.
Am I taking it apart or is this good?
No, take it apart. Because what we got to do now is the first thing, we have our produce on the table. We have to take a little bit more than 1%. So you decide. I'm going to leave this up to you. This is your stop. You pick that out of your tree.
Is that
1%? Huh?
It's about 1%?
Right.
So 1% of the tree.
Take off a little bit more than 1%.
You're getting rid of all the good stuff.
What about this stuff? That's also a lot of shot.
So yeah, there's a big shot about the inside of the white part of the peel.
That's not really edible, the outside.
Yeah, so exactly.
I eat it because I'm lazy.
It is like 10%. Oh, wait.
This part here,
you can take really? Off. Yeah. You can take off.
And a pomelo?
80% if you want. That's still fine. You don't have to take off. You don't have to take. You just didn't have to take off.
This is like
what's for sure a little bit more than 1%.
What? I'd say that's
definitely more than 1%.
You think so?
Do you not?
I don't know. Ask everybody.
Grapefruit's different. 1%?
Is that a little bit more than 1%? Is that 1.1%?
1% is more than 1%.
I'd say that's like 5%.
Fantastic. Put it down.
That's like 5%, no?
Great. Okay. So now we're Yotzi for sure. Kula Alma, this is a little. This here is a little bit more than 1%. Okay, lemon. Someone's going to cut a piece of lemon for us?
1% of the lemon?
Take the ugliest lemon that you see. If you see a bruise, something.
No. This, before we separate anything, is this stuff like...
Okay, so this is called tevel.
Can you like smell it? Can you?
You can smell it. Yeah. The shiloh where they can say bracha on noten reich tov pri with orla first, because aser bana orla is aser bana, but not tevel. What can you do with tevel? Can you compost it? Can you do? There's all kinds of different shiloh. What can you do with tevel?
Yeah, this one's got a mosquito bite.
This one's kind of like kind of dry. Yeah, but the whole this one looks
good. I would buy that one before I would buy this
Fine,
one.
So take this one. You want it? No, you're karate guy.
You know, he's responsible for growing these if you keep salting his lemons.
No,
this one's ugly. This one's ugly.
I'm not.
This one seven. Is gross.
I don't know, I'll tell you. If you were to give me these lemons, I would make lemonade. That's okay.
Hey, see what I'm talking? You see what I'm talking about, that spray? You see how juicy that was? That's just a lemon. You can just imagine the other stuff.
This is more than 1%.
I'm the guy in responsible for cleaning here, so I don't want to hear too much about it.
Yeah, you think that's a little bit more than 1%?
I think it's like 5%.
Okay, good. Now, what we're going to do is that we got whatever we do before we read this is that we need to make sure we know exactly where the truma portions are located on the table. So we're going to separate it. We're not going to, once we start the nusach, we're not going to, sorry, I can't read.
Tissue,
I can't read up close, so I have. But I can. I can't see you if I have these reading glasses on. So I got to kind of do the old granny thing, which I was laughing at my mother-in-law for like 15 years, seeing her walk around everywhere like this, talk to me like this, and until just last year.
That's why you have to do it.
I became like her. All that laughing at her made me like that. Yeah. Okay, where are we? Let's go to the Nusach. Now, we're not, again, we know where the Truma portions are. Now, we're not going to touch anything on the table. Very important. Now, let's start with...
How many pieces of pomela is that?
What do you mean?
There's like 11 slices.
Do you think that's 1%?
That's more than 1%.
You think so?
You think it's less than 1%?
Each slice is probably about 9%.
1% is 1/100.
If it's 10 pieces, more than 10 pieces there, you have
then
to
each slice is about 9%.
Right.
So you have to take 10% of a...
No, a little bit more than 1%.
We need to you have to take...
No, you have to get 10%
take about one-ninth
of
a slice. So it's about 1/9 of a slice. That's more than 1/9 of a slice. That's like 1/3 of a slice.
All right, fine, for everyone else.
Yeah, I'm asking.
Does it matter that this table wiggles?
Don't do it.
You said, like, don't
that's an interesting question.
Like you said like make sure nothing moves.
So yeah, that's an interesting question. This table move.
Just get off the table.
Yeah, let's maybe not move the table because that might actually.
Well, we can millimeter the things like.
No, we can actually cause.
I can't say like the fruit that is in this region here is.
Well, once you become a bucky enough, you can. But once you start, you know. Actually separating out, you're going to feel like if you make any aberration from the nusach whatsoever, you're going to get so confused, you're not going to know what happened, and you know.
But here's like, Mom, it's distinguishable. It's not like...
No, the Truma portion is not the problem. Yeah. The problem is with the Maisarish and Maisarishani portions.
Like this is much of it.
Now, first of all, all this is Maisarishani, because even if Chanata happened, let's say, before Tu Bishvat, the first year is also Maaser Sheni. The second year is also Maaser Sheni. So the problem is never from Peiros that are until now. Next year, Peiros is going to be a problem. And then the year after is going to be a problem. But when the Maaser Sheni years are back, is the least of a problem. All right. So first thing we do is...
Let's talk about the lemon here also. We said we're taking what, 1% again, we said, for the lemons?
A little bit more than 1% of
and
any...
that's of this, or that's of like one of these things?
No, it's of all this group. Yeah, you think this is a little bit, this lemon here, you think is a little bit more than 1% of all this?
I think so.
Do you feel confident?
Yeah.
Because there's seven lemons.
So yeah, I feel
confident. Do 100 of those fit into that?
Yeah, I feel confident.
Each
no, I feel
like 15%.
Yeah, I feel confident.
Like more 50%. Okay.
100 of these would have to fit into that.
I would give like two.
Of course, there's.
Two lemons.
No, you don't. Listen, you don't want a shortcut, and it doesn't matter if you give more.
Not less.
You'll see why. Once you start reading the notes, we'll break it down a little bit, and you'll understand why it's okay here to give as. You know, much as you want, really, almost as much as you want, even up to half and up to 80%. The Gemara tells us. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to say is Kol Lashoni Isparish Al Hatzad Hayoter Tov Api Din Torah VeTakanat Chazal. Okay. Baruch Ata Adinoi Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kideshanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu Lafrish Tumot U'Masrot Hayoter Mi'Echad Mi'Mea Sheyesh Kan Harei Hu Truma Gdola B'Tzad Tzfon Kol Min Almino. Now, very important to understand this. Why does it say Hayoter Mi'Echad Mi'Mea? The first portion is called Truma Gdola, right? What do we say Truma Gdola had to be? Something. What's the hayoter mi'echad? What's that hayoter part? The something. You have hayoter mi'echad. You're not talking about that echad mi'mea. You're talking about the portion that's called hayoter mi'echad mi'mea. That's the truma gedola. So that can be most of this. That's called hayoter. It's not a specific percentage. It's just giving, designating a certain amount. Whatever that amount is, it's the yoter that's here. Then 1% of all that combined together. That's what we're talking about. That's the Truma Gedola portion. So right now we designate the Truma Gedola portion, which is called Hayoter, the Hayoter part, mi the Echad Mimea. Because I said, in total, there has to be a little bit more than 1% here, right? Why a little bit more? Meaning, has to be slightly Yoter, mi Echad Mimea. So now we're calling that Yoter, we're designating as Truma Gedola. So that yoter is truma gedola. We have to say kol min almino because we have two different species here. We have lemons and we have pomelos. But we're only doing one nusach. We're saying one nusach for up to as many varieties as one. As long as we say kol min almino. Let's say, oh God, I forgot to say kol min almino, which has happened to me dozens of times. Then it's okay because you lechatchila, you try to say kol min almino. But if you don't say kol min almino, you had it in your mind anyhow that you're not separating everything, you know, one kind of fruit here. You know you have many kinds of fruits. Just forgot to say kol minam. B'dieved, it's okay. According to like pretty much all the poskim. Done. Truma gedola is done.
Kol minam in this
side? Huh?
At the end, the star.
Do you guys have that same dosach? You have that same dosach, right? More or less.
It doesn't say hey.
What?
It says yo, sir.
It does have
me. No, it doesn't have any, like, doesn't have anything. It doesn't...
It does.
Does it matter that this doesn't say hi, yo, sir?
Huh?
Does it matter that this doesn't say hi, yo, sir?
It says yo, sir. It doesn't matter. Actually, fool. I think this sidur is the only sidur that actually gives you more than one lashon of trumas and of separation of trumas and maaser. It's got to have it.
No, I'm actually interested in this because I've got like a mini version of this at work that I keep in my desk. So.
Okay.
Take this with you. Just don't let them know.
Don't mind. Anyway, it's probably it's here. It's got to be here somewhere. Anyway, you'll take a look over there. Okay. Now the next portion we're going to have to do is what's the next gift after Truma Gedola? We said it's Maaser Rishon, right? So let's go into the Maaser Rishon. Oise echad mimea sheyesh kan. Now we're getting back. See, we said we're going to put here a little bit more than 1%. So that oiso, that 1%, oiso mi echad mi mea sheyesh kan, ve'od tisha chalakim kemoso, po, ken, here, betzad sfon shel haperot, harei hu maaser rishon kol min almino. What did we just do here? We said maaser rishon has to be exactly 10%, right? So what do we have? We took out a little bit more than 1%. Now, Hayotia, that little bit more, what do we say he was? We already designated him. He's Truma Gedola.
Can you just move the stuff?
Okay. This you can move. That you can move. Yeah? Okay. Abba Beseder. I better not to touch it.
We have a whole thing here going on, though. It's that's fun exactly what this guy's
saying. Yeah.
Sapon's that way.
It's, I'll tell you. There's a lot of different machlokas on what exactly is means by Tzfono. The idea, whatever the idea is, whether it's like true north or whether it's, you know, just the northern part of the fruit, because I'm kind of sitting on the southern part, right? You're sitting on my northern part, and I'm sitting on, you know, your northern part. Mm-hmm. So
doesn't mean because you're looking at each other.
It doesn't. Yeah, because we're opposite. You know, we're opposite the fruit.
Like absolute versus referential.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever the case is, the reason why we don't want to move the table is because this, whatever the tzfon part is, what we're saying is that we're making a designation of space. However you define that space, we're making a designation of space within these peros. Now, we need 10% for Maaser Rishon. So oiso echad mimea sheyesh kan, this 1% that's over here, along with 9 other parts or percent that's in here, we got how much? 10%, right? Betzad sfon shel haperos. Why? It's in here somewhere. So we have to designate a space in here for my serration.
Doesn't that not take into account the fact that you already removed
in here
the truma from the 100%?
What's that?
This is saying 10%. So, but it has to be less than 10% because you have to take away whatever you.
What's it? We have to combine 10%. Remember, because
we're creating now a 10%.
We're creating a 10%.
But the 10% is. It's only 10% before truma, but you already took off the truma part. So it really has to be less than 10% now.
No, it's 10% of
what's left.
No, but it's 10 parts of what's remaining.
But the echad is echad mimeya, so that's 1%, and 9 chalakim exactly like it. That's a total of 10%.
Right, but we already took off the truma gedola portion, meaning that we already designated the yotel. We already separate that out. So that's gone.
I'm saying, but now what you have left is you're taking 10% of the entire thing at this
right.
point.
Right, correct. Because
but now what's remaining, it's the 10% total. Because right?
remaining.
If that's 5%, then really you should be taking off 9.5%.
No, but we physically remove the Truma Gedola. If you physically remove the Truma Gedola portion, and what you're left here with now is 99 apples, let's say. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what we have here. We physically separate out the Truma Gedola portion. And what we're left, whatever is left here, now we have to separate 10% from that. That's what the Nusach is telling us. Mm-hmm. So, somewhere, wherever tzfon is, shalaperot, harehu maisorishon, kol minal minot. Now, what we did is that we just designated 10% as Maaser Rishon, and we called shame 10%. 1% that's over here, and 9 more percent that's in here, each min al mino. Now we just designated shame Maaser Rishon. Next. Oiso echad mimea sheyesh kan shasisa Maaser Rishon. Now, that very one, remember at the beginning what we're doing is we're taking out, we need to remove all the truma aspects of the tevel. That's what we care about at this point and at any point, because that stuff is usher to everybody. And if it's mixed in even accidentally, it's called meduma and it's complicated to fix and so on and so forth. Yeah. So it's very important that we first separate that little bit more than 1%. That little bit more, we already designate Truma Gedola. That 1% that's remaining in this over here, even though you say, well, hold on a second, this is really, like you said, 5% of the lemons, and this is 5% of the pomelo. So in our Nusach, we're saying that the Yoiser is really everything outside of 1%. And whatever that 1% that remains over here, and 9 more percent in here and in here, together combined, they're 10%, which is called Maaser Rishon. Now we're saying, going back to that 1% that we put over here, we're designating that 1% for Trumas Maaser. Because remember, of the Maaser Rishon, of the Maaser Rishon, of the Maaser Rishon, it's the Trumas Maaser is really 1% of the total amount, right? Because it's called Maaser Min HaMaaser from the Torah. Maaser Rishon is 10%. 10% of that is Trumas Maaser, and that Trumas Maaser really, in fact, is 1% of the whole amount. So that's what we're saying here. Oiso echod mimea shekan that I put here. That we say with the word shekan, yeah. Shasis of Maaser Rishon asui Trumas Maaser kol min al mina. So we just designated now the third gift, which is Trumas Maaser. So here we have so far. Truma Gedola and Trumas Meiser. We have in here and in here Meiser Rishon. And now we have to do one more, which is Meiser Sheni. Umaiser Sheni Shel HaPerot. Sorry. Umaiser Sheni Bidromam Shel HaPerot Kol Min Al Mino. Now, all I need to do is the Meiser Sheni is in here, but now it's not in the Tzofon, because Tzofon, wherever that was designated as Meiser Rishon. So now I need to make sure that I don't accidentally make a portion of my Meiser Rishon Meiser Sheni. So if I didn't designate another direction, then I might, who knows, maybe I called Meiser Sheni something that was already has a designated Shem Meiser Rishon. So I make sure to say Meiser Rishon is in the Tzofon, and I make sure to say Meiser Sheni is in the Dromon, is in the south. This way I'm not making any mixes of the two types of gifts together, and I know that the Meiser Sheni in all what is required is the fact that north and south is relative, as you said, whether it's true north and south or just situational north and south. How'd you call it?
Absolute.
As a relative? Yeah. So there. So relative. Fine. It's good. That sounds good, yeah? Okay.
Sounds official.
Now, ve'im tzarich meiser oni, ye meiser oni bidromam kol min al mino. Now, it's good to say that. Even though you know for sure this is a meiser shenier, and I didn't really have to say ve'im, you know, tzarich meiser ani ye meiser ani bedomo kol min amino. I didn't have to say that because I know this is for sure meiser sheni stuff. I'm going to say it anyhow. Get used to saying it anyhow. Get used to saying whatever the nusach tells you, everything it says, even though it may not apply at all. Say it anyhow. Why? Because at some point it is going to apply. Why? Lemons, for example, is a good example. Lemons, next year, are going to be meiser ani. That's for sure, because you're going to have Chanota is going to be after Tu B'Shvat, and Lakita will most likely be after Rosh Hashanah, right? Because they're the winter fruit. Now after Rosh Hashanah, that's going to get Meister Sheni again, right? So the Machlokas is tomorrow Rosh Hashanah. Huh? Yes, but with lemons, it's a little bit more complicated, because lemons, The Gemara and Maisa in Rosh Hashanah talks about the Esrog. What's an Esrog? Is it goes after Basar Mashkiah? Is it like a vegetable or is it like a fruit? Because it needs irrigation like a vegetable, but it's obviously a fruit from a tree. So there we have we for sure have to separate, in this case of a third year and a fourth year where it's Maisa region. We say from machlokis, we have to, so therefore if it's like a vegetable, then it goes after lakita, and if it's like a fruit, it goes after chanota. So here we separate both meiser sheni and meiser ani. You must do that. So we're not sure if a lemon is like an esrog. I would say, from after years of experience of a lemon, I could tell you that it's darn very close to an esrog in many ways. In fact, I've had lemon trees where people on the street would say, wow, look at that beautiful esrog tree. And I would tell them it's a lemon tree. And there's a good reason to think of a lemon also in this machlokus of things as maybe something that's likened to an esrog. And if it's likened to an esrog, then we have to say, well, maybe it also goes basar lakita, not just basar chanota. And if it's a meiser onir going to meiser shenir, and the chanota is in a meiser onir, and lakita is a meiser shenir, so then we have to separate both meiser sheni. Ve'im tzarich, like it says here in all your nusachim, ve'im tzarich meiser ani, it gives you that option, yeah? Doesn't obligate you, but if you also need meiser ani, then meiser ani will be in the dromim, yeah? And we let Hashem kind of figure out exactly what the divrei emes is absolutely in the mitzvahs, yeah?
I had this problem with passiflora.
Huh?
Is that also in that zone of
passiflora?
Not sure if it's
no,
like what it is.
No. Passiflora, no. Passiflora.
Clearly,
Passiflora? You have a problem with orla.
Oh,
in terms of whether there's orla or not to it. Yeah, there's a machlokis. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's a machlokis? It's Most poskim hold that it's a fruit, and it's not a vegetable, but it's a very short lived fruit. It lives only about 6, 7, 8 years, depending on.
That's exactly what happened. Thank God it's gone now.
Yeah,
well, tomatoes and bananas. Scientifically, technically, tomatoes are fruit.
Yeah, so halachically, tomatoes are absolutely vegetables, because it lives 1 year and dies that very year, and it doesn't come back. You have more problems with things like aubergine, eggplants, and papaya, and bananas. You don't have any more problems with bananas.
Eggplant is clearly not a vegetable.
Eggplant is a machlokes. We hold it as a vegetable, yeah, but eggplants can live for a good quite a few years. The Chazon Ish said bevadai eggplant is a vegetable, and yet he worked based on a svara. He says that because the eggplant lives maybe 3 years, so Kodesh Baruch Hu lo nesal shum davar beolam, like he's not going to make something completely usur forever. So it has to be a vegetable. Meaning, there's no way that could be, that's his svara. And we hold by that, by the way. It's interesting. It's a svara, but we hold by his svara. So that's the issue with eggplants. And bananas are vadai, according to everybody, a vegetable. Papaya, the poskim, the Ashkenazi poskim, interestingly enough, say that it has orla, but you bless Bori Pri Adama. Okay. So we say Bori Pri Adama and a papaya. If you say Bori Pri Eretz, yeah, you're okay, but you advise highly to say Bori Pri Adama, even though you have to hold 3 years orla. On papaya. Sfardim, papayas are absolutely vegetables and they're not trees, and you can eat lechatchila right away. There's a lot of odd fruits and vegetables and stuff like that that we're not sure exactly what it is, and it's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Now we just designated all of the gifts. You understand over here. Now we have the truma gedola portion and also the truma smicer portion over here. Inside here is the Maiserishon portion, which we said there's no problem. We can eat because it's not Mamon Gvoah. It's Mamon Hedya. And more than that, we're not obligated to give it to a Levite because Amotzi Mechavah of Love of Uriah. He has to prove that he's a Levite. Until he proves it, he can't take out for me what belongs to me, what's my money, so to speak.
Is there a Kedusha to that?
And there's no special Kedusha to that. That's why Israel can hold.
Let's say you end up not eating the food, you end up throwing it all out.
No problem.
There's no...
Maaser Rishon has no.
It has to be eaten. It just.
No, it's like any fruit. Most. Tevel is a different issue. What do you do with Tevel? There's all kinds of different halachic inquiries into what exactly can be done with it, you know, what can't be done with it. But Chulin, once it's done, and say very little trimus and Maaser, is no problem, yeah? By the way, all this fruit come from trees that are after Orla and Revai. So they're 4+ years old for sure, yeah? This tree is about 15 years old, and this tree is about 9 years old.
Oh, okay. So I never even thought about that. That's also something I have to worry about.
No, you must worry about that.
stuff at work.
Right, stuff at work is yes. So what I would suggest to you, I was going to say this after, is vegetables are a lot easier to metaken. You know, you get a membership at Karen and Meisters, and you go around, and, you know, you kind of pretend you're fixing your jacket, and you're like, you tell me, you just take a little portion, you put on the side of your plate, you know. Make sure no one sees you. Your little cards, you know, sewn in your jacket like the Shatnez sticker, you know. You got your little chumas and mice thing. And you just read the little nusach over there and you take it, you know, and you just put a little plastic, you know, lunch sandwich bag, and you throw in the garbage, and then whatever's on your plate, only what's on your plate, that is now musar. And most poskim say that what you just did then and there, no matter where it came from, in terms of vegetables in particular, it has a higher kashrus, and you can confirm this with any poskim, than badatze l'chareni. What you just did now, if you did it right, has a higher level of kashrus than badatze l'chareni. And the reason for that is because of many different problems when it comes to shlichus, which I'm not going to get into, which badatz can't get over, and also chiyuv al patur, which is big problem, because I've been to packing houses many times, and there's just these distribution centers, believe it or not, you have mashgichim in the farms when they're picking, calling the rabbonim in the distribution centers saying this is coming in, and this was picked by a goy on a Jewish land, only separated with this stuff over here, and this was picked by Jews on Jewish land, that's got a different level of chiyuv, make sure not to mix it with this stuff and this stuff. Like, there's a whole maze going on over here of communication back and forth while stuff is coming in, tractors, forklifts, moving in and out, fast, mamash, balagan.
Israel's just doing it on the phone and no one thought to get stickers and just put them on the crate.
There's stickers and crates. There's stickers and crates. But things move so fast because your picking to your market is a turnover of 24, 36 hours. It's already on the shelves. So things happen so fast, and they've been to so many of these places. It's a real zoo. And so there's a problem. But once you're the owner, and you know all this stuff here is your stuff, whatever you have here, and you're now you don't have no shlichus, you have no history of potter and chiyuv, and it's all here, and you say nusach without a bracha, and you can even say the kitzur nusach. So there's a kitzur nusach where you could just say you know kol afrashus chilam aishen yurvai yechulu kamosha katuv tzel keren maizer. It's done.
Easy. Like they said.
That's it. Just listen. You take off your little bit more 1%. You say 15 words. You even mumble it just enough so like Kriyat Shema just said your ear can hear it. And then you're done.
That's one of my questions. Like, I don't know for sure that this stuff hasn't had Truma and Mises.
Right. So that's the issue of the mind. Is it the mind? So you always say without a bracha. Always. Any suffix stuff, technically speaking, if you separate again for yourself at home, even when you go buy from a Datsed or Haredi store, because you want to get over some of the problems they may have, and you want it to be the most mahuda and the most, you know, highest form of kashrut, so to speak, you would always do that without a bracha, because it's not tevel vaday. Only what's tevel vaday, like we did now, we say with a bracha.
So if you don't grow it and you don't pick it, you should say without a bracha?
Correct. Because the bracha is not...
Even if you buy it from some, you know, Arab somewhere, I mean, I guess no, because then you...
If you bought it from, it's complicated. But even if you bought it from an Arab, what'd you do?
He probably stole.
What'd you do? You separate chumas and ma. You never said a bracha. So there's no bracha levatal here. You just separated a few things. You designated a name. Maybe you did nothing.
My wife has some relatives up north that live in a kibbutz, and like it's completely chilon.
Right. So fruits, you have to have. You have to be careful with fruits because you might have a problem with orla, and orla is deraisa today. It always has been. It always will be. It's the raisa. It's chomer meod. And it's when it comes to fruits, you have to be very careful that it's past the orly years.
Okay. And on the vegetables, I do. I only have to do it on the stuff that I want for me. Like I don't have any obligation to do it on the whole thing for everybody.
No, you can't.
I can't.
You only take what belongs to you.
You can do it for your family.
Huh? You can do it for your family.
I'm saying, like at work, I can't
try and
help anyone else out.
No, because you have to make a ma'isa. You have to make a ma'isa kinyan first. So I say it's only what's on your plate. Because generally, what's on your plate, you designate for you. Meaning, no one's going to come and they're going to see like a beautiful plate of lox and tomatoes and other vegetables and some caper berries and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, you look at your plate and say, "Well, what's on his plate?" He has the same thing, but it's all like balagan there. I want everyone's like, "Huh, that's his." Everyone agrees, that's his. What's on his plate, it belongs to him.
Except for your kids.
Right, except for your kids. No, but that's fine. Except for your kids. So what I'm saying is that belongs to you, but what's not on your plate doesn't belong to you. And the only way you could do it for the tzibur is that if you make a ma'isa kinyan first, meaning you have to lift everything, you have to do hagba. You have to lift everything up, and all of a sudden you're like, guys, can I somebody else at the end of the table over here? All right, just lift it 30 centimeters, a little bit more. All right, that's enough. Now drop it down. All right, it's not going to happen. So whatever is on your plate, that's it. Okay, now we have to do redemption of Ma'aser Sheni. That's the next part. Now because it's Tevel Vaday, we actually say Brocha. All right, let's start with the Brocha. It's Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu Al Pidyon Ma'aser Sheni. HaMa'aser Sheni Kol Dargat Chiyuv Bifnei Atzma Yeh Mechula Pruta Bifnei Atzma. We're done. What does that mean? means that everything is fully out of the status of Tevel. There's nothing here that's Tvul, Lobamaiser Sheni, Lobamaiser Rishon, Shum Daval. This is fully now in the realm of Chulin. Anyone can enjoy it as long as you say a bracha. So first of all, please enjoy it with a bracha.
We didn't take care of Maiserani yet. If it's a Maiserani year.
It's the right. It's not Maiserani year, so we're not going to... If again,
if it is though, then
no, because
a problem.
No, because if you were a member of Karen Maisers, then we'd have a slightly different nusach from Maiser Ani. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't first of all redeem Maiser Shein. We wouldn't do that second portion of Chilul Maiser Shein.
Then you'd send your gazlan with from Anim.
Right. No, but you have a bracha levatala there. I mean, you have a bracha levatala. How's it taste?
Cool.
Yeah.
It's dry.
It's dry. No, it should be. I know. I'll be very honest with you. So I picked a few, and I separated on one.
You get it.
And it was very. It was very. It was not sweet. It was bitter. It was kind of not so good.
There's not.
So I picked.
One.
Huh? This so one. There's a good one. So I picked it about a month and a half ago.
This one.
Yeah.
That helps it lose the
so
bitterness.
So I wanted. I thought it would kind of like.
That's a spoil.
Mevasha a little bit. And if it was Mavasha, it would be less bitter, a little bit more sweet.
Worked.
Because something, huh?
It worked.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, good.
You can stay off the tree. I'm not the only one that's going to eat this.
Yeah, that's true, for a month and a half. This has been off the tree for about 5 hours, and this has been off the tree for a month and a half.
No, you keep, have to wrap
you keep
up in
Tevel for a month and a half?
Yeah, I kept Tevel for a month and a half.
You do this.
No, you don't want to keep Tevel around. It's very dangerous. But, you know, I did it because I needed to. I needed to experiment. I wouldn't otherwise have done that. But so, I kept Tevel for a month and a half.
So what happens in a Maiserani year? How does that get taken care of?
So we don't say the Nusach here. I do want to explain the Maiser Sheni because it's very important to know what we did over here for a second. Maiserani is a different Nusach, yeah? Mm-hmm. You have to then designate a certain amount that you have left as Pikadon, or as a Alva'a with the Shaliach of the Ani, which is by the Karen a Maiser's office, and you have to keep track of how much approximately Maiser Ani was worth in your pairs, and then the Ani, in a sense, pays you back for the money that you lent to him, that you gave.
It's a little more complicated.
Yeah, it's a little bit more complicated, but you know, if you call though, like yeah, that should definitely
you have to call every time you separate?
No, you have to keep track.
And then what do you do with it? At some point you have to pay
according to the Nusach, you have to actually let's say like this. You're the Gabbai, right? So Mr. Gabbai, listen, I'm gonna give you now 50 shekels.
Okay.
And you're now a shliach for the Ani. Okay. And it's known and the Ani maskim that they mone lecha shliach.
Okay.
I want you to maskim that I'm giving you 50 shekels as a loan in advance for the Ani.
Okay, you give me 40 shekels of loan.
Huh? I'm giving you 50 shekels, yeah? So, now, how is the Ani going to pay me back the loan? Of course, without interest. Through his peiros, so Maiserani, that I separate. So, whenever I separate Maiserani, I'm going to deduct a certain, whatever the value, let's say it was a Maiserani here, and all the combined value of Maiserani here was 3 shekels. Hypothetically.
So you're good up until
50. So now basically the Ani Kielu paid me back, really did pay me back, three shekels of the 50 of the 50 that I gave you.
And
as a loan.
At the end of the year you just forgive the rest of the loan.
Right. Right?
So do you have to then worry about how many times you're how much value you have to keep track of how
you have
much
to keep
you
track.
Pay.
Correct. You have to keep track.
And then pay?
No, because you're giving an advanced loan.
So if you go over that, you have to pay more.
Exactly.
To the Karim.
But if you're not a member of the Karim and you didn't give the Gabbai money as you know in advance, then what you have to do is that you say, okay, fine. So now there's many different ways to deal with it from here on in. This is really a so much longer section, but maybe we get to an Ani here. We can talk about Maiserani a bit more. But there's a lot of different options what you could do after. If you're not sure what to do. You basically say that whatever the value of the Maiser Ani that's in this peros, I'm now going to designate this money, you know, there's a value of this, whatever this money, 5 shekels, is now going to be, you know, the Maiser Ani that is instead of this peros over here, because we do have the koyach to transfer, you know, so to speak, kedusha. We can designate the Maiser Ani into these coins And we don't really... we have a problem with Netina over here, because when you give it to the Oni, it's like whoever said he was maskim this deal. Meaning that you're taking the liberty to transfer the Miser Oni onto a coin now. It's like you're playing with somebody else's money. I decide to go into your bank account, and now I decide to go to your house and sell your stereo. Give you money for it, man. What's the problem? I mean, you ever talk to me about it? Maybe I didn't want you to do that.
Well, didn't you work this out with the Oni beforehand?
No, because you're working out with the Oni. You say, just have Maestro Oni, and then...
You said the Indian was that the Oni was already Smachal and the goodbye.
Yeah, so it had... So there you don't... So I'm just saying it's very complicated, and the best thing to do is, you know, become a member of Karen and Maestros, and they'll tell you when it's a Maestro... You want to do just Maestro Shenu, you also want Maestro Oni. They'll say, okay, if you want Maestro Oni, they'll tell you the two options of the deal that you can make with them as shlichim for the Oni, and then you decide what you want. You do the alva, the loan, and like I said, you know, with the loan, and then after that you keep track of how much money has been paid back through you through the value of the Maestro Oni.
There's no nusach for this?
No, not here, no. No, there's no nusach for Maestro Oni. Maestro Oni, you don't have to do any redemption. The only Maestro thing you have to do is with Maestro Oni is you have to designate. If it's Maestro Oni, you have to designate a location. That's what it says here, is that Ve'im chayv Maestro Oni, Ve'im tzarich Maestro Oni, and Maestro Oni bedromam. It's very important. Because if it's a Maestro Oni, if the Paris is chayv Maestro Oni, you have to designate it a certain spot, because if you just say, you know, Ve'im tzarich Maestro Oni, and Maestro Oni, kol min amino, well, you don't know where it is. All of a sudden, a portion can be designated in the Maestro Rishon portion.
Right, so that's just to prevent overlap.
That's just to prevent overlap, exactly.
Maestro Oni, also the thing goes to like the widow orphan and Ger, sort of thing? Or is that like a whole different thing? Or goes to the widow orphan and Ger? Or is just any just a general poor person?
I don't understand your question.
The Maestro Oni.
Yeah.
Is that like it just goes to any poor person, or is that the thing where it's designated for like the widow, orphan, and the ger?
No. Go to any poor person.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So what do we do here? First of all, this is very important to know, is that it says Hamaiser Oni Yemechul Apruta. Remember, we said no matter how much value Maiser Sheni here, I say Maiser Oni, Maiser Sheni, again, same Maiser Sheni, Kol Darga Chiyu Bifnei Atzma. Then that's the nice thing about the Karen of Maestros, because let's say I had here grapes and lemons and parsley. So I have here different chiyuvim, different darga chiyuvim. Whoever said that I can redeem Maestro Sheni in grapes and lemons all on one pruta? I can.
You said you didn't.
You can.
Grapes first.
Because grapes are a higher level of obligation. Mm-hmm. So that's why the Nusach here says, Kol Darga Chiyuv Bifnei Atzma. So each Darga Chiyuv will be designated its own Pruta, Bifnei Atzma. Ye Mechulal Al Pruta, on one Pruta only, but Matbea HaMeyuchedet Lechilu Zeh Bekeren Lechilu Maestro Sheni Kvi Tanai Keren. So yeah.
How does it work over there? How do they do it? They have massive coins?
They have a lot of coins. Yeah, they have tens of thousands of shekels of coins, and they constantly, they do a lot of statistics, they know how many families and how many times per day they're going to redeem, and they have their you know, how many pruta chumurs they have, and they have it all kind of
calculated. Lousy way of calculating things. Generally speaking, statistics are a very lousy way of calculating things, though.
Depends on how careful you are.
I mean, this way, they whatever ways that it's calculated, it has to be calculated with numbers as best as possible. Because I mean, that's, you know, so how many families are members, and then they figure approximately how many times each family will redeem on a daily basis. Therefore,
this many families have their own farm. This many families have a garden patch. This many families. They look at fruit every now and then.
Most families separate from stuff they buy from a Badatze, the Haredi store.
So when you go to the grocery store, you'd still separate anyway?
Yeah.
Afterwards, and you get home?
But Efrati separates from Efrati stuff, no?
Yes. Efrati separates from Efrati stuff.
So he gave his hexer on it, and then he said...
And he separates from it.
Wow.
That's how you know he's trustworthy. A guy who doesn't even hold by his own stuff.
Right. There you go. No, I thought this
it's not like he's in the field. Is that what you do also?
Huh? No. I do in certain circumstances. Mm-hmm. I do in certain circumstances, but I don't do it in every circumstance. I don't separate from frati stuff, but I separate when I'm not sure if I go to my in-laws or from whatever. You know, I separate in different situations.
By the way, this is recorded.
Yeah, that's fine.
Any in-laws are going to hear?
That's all right.
Should we pause it now?
No, it's okay. You ask me the question, I answer you honestly. That's
a good idea, separate from your in-laws.
Now, what's important is that if the imyesh kan peros revai, if it's a meiser sheni, you still have to separate meiser sheni out. But what's important about revai is that you actually don't have to separate the rest of trumas and meiser. The problem with revai is that it's very hard to get a vade revai. Revai is the fourth year after orla. So let's say you took a cutting, esro, yeah? It's the most mehudar way of growing esro again. That's kosher for, you know, the mitzvah is you take a cutting of the tree, meaning you take a branch about this long, you put some rooting hormone at the tip that goes into the ground, you put it into the ground, and then you let it root out. And now the branch starts to sprout some new little branches, green at the beginning until they start to harden up and they become semi-hardwood until they become hardwood. And from there, you eventually get your tree. Now, here, for sure, you know that you began the thing, let's say, in the middle of, you know, the summer. Say Nisan, yeah? It's when you planted this cutting, took this cutting. So here you can count for sure, because it's a fresh new creation, without any roots. You didn't buy in the garden center that had roots. Did it come in Otzis Nakuv? Did it not come in Otzis Nakuv? All kinds of difficult issues. It's Suffolk Revive. I don't know. So there, it's complicated, yeah? So you have to separate Trumas and Meiser, and you also have to, at the same time, on Suffolk Revive, which most cases are Suffolk Revive. But if you did your own plant from seed, you started from seed something, which most of the time you won't get a fruit tree out of that produces good, edible, yummy fruit from seed. Because of botanical issues, you know, of cross-pollination in the beginning. The seed is a combination of both the mother tree as well as another pollinating species, so it's all kinds of different. But from a cutting, it's like you're taking the exact genetic replication. It's like you're cloning. It's a clone. A cutting is a clone. Yeah. So, or a graft is a clone. So here you know for sure when you're taking a cutting, like a piece of branch together. I did that. One of my customers went to Rav Lefkowitz's tree from that the Chazon Ish originally gave to him, took a cutting, gave me four cuttings. Three of them weren't so good. One of them I managed to grow a tree out of. And we have, you know, it's the second year.
Can I take from there?
Huh?
Can I take from yours?
It's no, because the tree is actually, it's still very small. It's small because he has a shaded garden. And I keep telling him that we have to put it in the driveway because it's the only place where the sun. I said, we're not putting a tree in the driveway. In a pot. I'm like, no. Put it in the sunny spot in the garden. The sunny spot in the garden only gets about 2.5 hours of sun per day, which is not enough, and it's a problem. And there's other gardens that have also good esrog trees from reliable sources, which I may be able to get cuttings from. So,
you have grown esrog
tree? I rent here, and I
want to for one.
There's esrog tree in the back. There are a couple of other properties, but all of them die except for like place this one. This one doesn't get great sun.
If I know I can get one of the good Minnesota, I'll make a place.
But, interesting. Doesn't get great. So do you irrigate?
It gets a lot of water.
In
the corner.
Right. Nope. Well, there could be all kinds of differences tonight. So if it's chayiv in revai, so you still have to, you have to redeem the revai paris, yeah? So there's no... There's no Meiser Sheni. You have to redeem the Revai Peros because Revai is like Meiser Sheni, where you have to eat in Yerushalayim, and you have, if you can't eat in Yerushalayim because you're Tomei, and so on and so forth, so that you redeem it onto a coin, and then that coin has the same laws of Meiser Sheni Revai. And then it says here that Oiso Eino Sheva Pruta Mea Meiser Sheni or Revai Yemuchula B'Shavio, meaning B'Shavio is the mean. The pruta's value. But madbeah hamiyuchel lechiuzeh bekeren. Now, remember what I told you about the pruta chumura? So all of a sudden, I did one lemon. So in that one lemon, the meiser sheni, I don't have here in the meiser sheni portion even 6 aguros. It's like three agurus is the money's training. So I can't really separate onto a coin anything that's less than pruta. Unless I'm separating onto a coin that was started by pruta chamura, one of the three species that we talk about, dogon, tiro, shenitzo, yeah? And if that's the, so in the Karen, there are pruta chamuras that if I need to separate onto them because I don't have in my Maaser Sheni portion of my fruit or vegetable, a pruta's worth of Maaser Sheni, then it goes onto that coin, so the Fitanaya Karen.
Do you have to have it in mind when you're separating what kind of coin it's going to?
No, because it's all in the Nusach. The Nusach takes care of everything. The Nusach takes care of everything. Now, one thing you noticed here is that I mentioned is that when the Torah tells you that when you whenever you redeem anything, whether it be a korban or whether it's be true a Maaser Sheni or other types of redemptions, is that you have to add a chomesh. It's like a kanas in the Torah. It's interesting. It's all a different subject. But now, what's the one thing I said? But if it's not your coin, or it's your coin but not your fruit, so you don't have to do at a chomesh, because a chomesh is only added when it's your coin and your fruit. But if it's not your coin, but it's your fruit, or it is your coin and it's your friend's fruit, and however which way they're working out, that one of the things isn't there,
so then you don't do it on their buddy's coin each time.
What's
that? Yeah, like, why don't you just save a chomesh and you do your coin, I'll do my coin.
Okay, you can do that. The Gemara talks about that situation as well. Join whatever. Karen, yeah. It's interesting. But so needless to say, is here is that you see we didn't add a chomesh. Now if you look in the Siddur, do you have your Siddur open in there? Just take a look for just take a quick look here. It says here that Hamoise Maaser Sheni Sheshkan Vechen Harevai Sheshkan Yemuchula Hu Vechumsho Al Madbea. Now, it gives you the option. Prut a chamura shall a maaser sheni shematbea ze yishar maaser sheni. There's obviously a slight differentiation in the nusach. Either way, you're going to read it all, what that means is something else. But it needs to say, the point being is that you didn't actually have to add a chomish because here it's not your coin. So you take care of the holy sheep of the chomish. It's good. It works out so nicely.
So even if their estimates are off by a foot, they're still good. That's what the statistics.
I know, and they
look
at that again.
They can use statistics because they can be off by a fifth and they still good.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, any other questions? We took up a lot of time, but I think it was valuable, and I think you'd probably walk away knowing a lot more than most people about the stuff. And even though we covered just a small fraction of what there is to know, believe it or not, there's all kinds of different situations that you might be in. Like somebody asked before about the trees, the municipality planted. So can you actually...
That's the question I was thinking about.
Can you actually, even take from there? Is it called, gezel? I mean, what did the city have in mind? If the city planted it, with in mind that you could just go ahead and take, like anyone, I'm planting it so that there's food for the for the community, or they planted it for noi, for ornamental purposes, and really they want to preserve the ornamental value of the tree, and therefore they're machmir, that no one should take. And if they're machmir, no one should take. But hold on a second.
The municipality has a voice of its own like that, though.
In general, we say that if the municipality planted it, you could take, but you should, and you have to separate Shumas and Meiser, and without a bracha.
What about, I see, someone told me, I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody told me that, there's, a thing here that if someone has, a tree or whatever, and it's, growing out of their property,
right,
then it's kilo, that's hefker. I don't know.
I've heard that also. It doesn't make sense.
It's not at all. It's not at all. You see where it's growing from. Now, the question is,
because you don't have it fenced in.
Do I need permission? Depends. Do I need permission to take? Because the branches are actually reaching into the rishus a rubbing. And maybe it's even a sakana, yeah? It's a lemon tree. There's thorns on a lemon tree. And it's like at eye level. You know, do I have a right to just cut it and take it all? I have to separate trumas and maaser, for sure. But do I need to actually, is it called gezel or not? So, you know, it's a problem. If you see Perus that reaching into the rishus haravim, and whether you can reach it or not, you know who the balabite is because the trunk is growing inside of rishus yochid, someone's private garden. And you know, they don't want to destroy the form of the tree, so they're keeping it nice, because it is nice when it reaches over the, you know, the property line like that. But, you know, there's a problem now, so you have to actually go to the balabite and you say, listen, can I have some? A, B, you know, your tree is hanging pretty low. Do you think you can cut it up? Usually, your municipality, which has happened to me a few times, municipality will leave a notice on the door that your fruit tree is now becoming a danger for the rishus haravim, and you have to cut it back or you're going to get knas. So that's happened to me.
You don't get
canasting
for anything.
Okay, so if that's not going to happen here, then you have to actually ask the Babai. If you, now, what happens if you see it on the floor?
So it fell off?
So generally speaking, is if you know, if you want to be Mahadran, you want to be Mahudar, you want to be, as you know, without Sfekot, whatever, you can go and you see, obviously, it came from this lemon tree over here, from this garden, you know, my friend... whoever it is, you know, Aaron, and it must be him. So I'm going to go and I'm going to say, listen, you know, fruit fell, you know, do you mind if I take it? Now, the other thing is that he could be lechatchila, it's one of the things that he's not makbid on. Whatever falls, any else can get trampled, he's going to get kicked. I'm not makbid if someone picks it up and takes it. It doesn't make it hefker. Means because, you know, but now, if it just happens to be on the street, you're not sure where it came from, but it's in, so there might be an in if it's hefker or not. I would separate without a bracha. That's all.
But if it fell like off the tree in Rishus Haravim, you still say that it still belongs. Yes. To the owner.
There's a few mishnayos on this. Is that someone planted a tree in Rishus Haravim for the yachid, for the rabim, in his yachid, for himself, or for the rabim? There's all kinds of different things going on there. But if you know things for sure, then I think that in your consciousness, without being lazy about it, you know better. Like, let me go in and ask Aaron if I can take this home.
So if you do ask him and he says you can take it, that's you still make a bracha on it.
You make a bracha.
Even though it's not...
Yeah. You make a bracha.
You didn't grow up, it was grown
absolutely,
by you.
Absolutely. Now it belongs to you.
And then what if I go... And this happened to me when we were visiting a couple years ago before we made Aliyah, so the Chumas and my sister were not really on our minds. So go to a guy who's squeezing fresh juice on the street.
Right.
So you have a cup of juice. Would you take trumas and maaser there? Like, how would you?
Right. So you take trumas and maaser from juice.
So you separate like an ounce of the juice and then.
Right. So yes, you'd have to separate trumas and maaser also from juice if you make it. Just there, you have a little problem with you know, it's not so clear what's droma, what's sofon, what's droma. It's like there's no. Location in juice.
Juice is always moving.
Juice. It's.
Well, I mean, could you?
Can you change the law?
Show into like,
freeze it.
You don't have a choice, huh?
Could you pour it freeze into it like three or four different cups and say like, okay, it's from.
But then would have to be the right percentage.
Yeah. So technically speaking, for example, let's say we're a little bit more buckies here, yeah, and yeah, we had all this tevil, and I wanted to say, you know what? I want actually, it's a meiser on here. Say hypothetically, it's a meiser on here. And I wanted to actually separate everything out. So let's say I had all these lemons over here. So I took out, you know, my Truma Gadol and Truma Smites, of course, my little bit more than 1% is still over here. Now I'm going to say, okay, what's 10? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7, what's 10% of 7? That's about, you know, 0.7. So what's here is 0.7. So I take whatever I think is about 7% of what... 10%, whatever, 10% of what remains here, right?
9%.
9.
Because the one that's there.
Whatever the portion, I make the calculation, I take, let's say, whatever it comes to, about half a lemon, hypothetically, or a third of a lemon, I take that out over here, that's my Meiser Rishon. Now, I took out the Trumas Meiser in here, maybe I didn't, maybe I just took out a little sliver, like over here, I put it over here, and I just said, I'm just going to separate Truma Gedola. Whatever when I separate my Meiser Rishon out, I'm going to keep the Trumas Meiser in here still. which is I've done before, for example. We like playing around the base measure, so we do all kinds of, I bring a lot of tab all the time, so we play with all the different scenarios. So I go to the levy and I said, here's your Meister Rishon, Tvul Trumas Meister. There's Trumas Meister in here. You separate. You take it out. I don't want to take it from my stuff. You take it out. So he goes and he actually cuts off a piece, 10% of whatever's here, and then he has to designate that the Trumas Meister portion. He has to say bracha, Lafri Trumas Meister, not Trumas and Meister, Trumas Meister. He says a bracha. He separates out. It is not nothing. You'll never see this in any nusach. So in my book, there's going to be about 25 different nusachim, depending on what you want to do. If you want to take the Meister Sheni out, Meister Rishon. If you want to actually physically take the Meister Aniya, I want to take out the Meister Rishon, but leave the Trumas, the Meister Ani inside. Then I say the Meister Ani, but Droma, I can even say Meister Ani, but Tzofon, right? Because Meister Rishon's out. I don't have now a Droma and a Tzofon. I can designate whatever direction I want. Just have to designate a place. So, you know, again, you can start playing around with things, and you could just say Meister Rishon, and then you could just say Trumas Meister. You could change the list up.
This might sound silly, but can you do this on Shabbos?
No. It's a good question. I have a lot of other subjects here I wanted to talk about, but we're not going to, you know, we didn't have time to get to anything.
It's still young.
Right. No, what's that? It's, no, on Shabbos, it's
only 12:23.
Because, first of all, your metabolism, it's called your... it's called your matakin something, and you can separate Trumas and Meister on Shabbos. There is a way to do it if you made a special tanai before Shabbos. Then there is a way to do it, but it's complicated, and you don't want to do it, and you want to make sure that everything you have is separated out before Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Many times what happened, I had Shabbos, people ask me Shabbos all the time, they had, you know, my mom, I went to my mom's house, and she had a window box, and she took some parsley, and she put it in the soup. And then, you know, when I came over, she served me the soup, and I said, wow, she bragged about it, I grew the parsley, and it was in my window, and I threw in the soup, and it's like great. And he said to me, yeah, it was great. And I said to him, Ma, did you separate Trumas and Meister? She's like, oh, exactly. It was like she was all confused for a moment. He's like, okay, so hold on a second. I have now a whole pot of vegetable soup here. She threw in some parsley. That is tevel vadai, which means that there's tevel in here. And what do I do with it? How do I fix this? So first, do I just throw the whole thing away? Can I fix it? Can I not fix it? So there's a whole system of how to deal with it. But is it noise same time? Noise? Is there bittul? All kinds of different things. Do I have to separate? How do I separate it? They made a mush out of it. It's a squash soup, and they grounded it all together. It's not even here, but I taste it. Like you could taste it, maybe. I don't know. I can't taste it. So what I could do is there a goy here around that can taste this for me? Is there a tam of parsley in here, or is there not a tam of parsley in here? Is it benoy same tam, or is it benoy same tam? It's the same problem with basar chalav. You know, it's a, how do you deal with this? So there's a lot of issues and a lot of problems like this.
It's a big book,
huh?
This must be a big book.
No, there's hundreds and hundreds of questions. A lot of questions. So this is, so on Shabbos you cannot, because it's matakin something. And if you do separate on Shabbos with the tanai before, your truma portion is mukta, and then you can't handle it after. So it's not
until after Yad.
Can you even have after Shabbos kafir then? Even after Shabbos it'd be OCD, no?
What?
No, I'm saying if you did separate it anyway, so if you separate it anyway, it's going to be mukta, but wouldn't it be chobi also to you after Shabbos as well?
Anyhow, it's also to you, because it's truma. It's not like bishul, which is mutter to you, be'etzem adavar.
Okay.
If you did bishul on Shabbos for yourself, and it was like, you know, then it's also for you after Shabbos, yeah? If you did it, you know, I think if you did b'shoigi, right? It's also to you after. If you did it for acherim, then it's mutter to you after, whatever, there's all these different tanaim, yeah? But here, truma, so if you separate truma on Shabbos, it's first of all, you're matakin, and then secondly, it's mukta, it's truma, and it's always asur to you. So, and even if you had the tanai in advance, it's asur to you after Shabbos because it's truma. Then you know, be'etzim is asur. And I think guys, you got the gist of.
Can I grab one?
The most important. Yeah, you guys take all this one except for this, which I'll take, unless you have a garbage here that you know the cleaning person won't. Say, wow, somebody threw away some good fruit.
You never know.
You never know. You never know, the cleaning person.
These are
the occupied territories, don't I? Thank you very much.
We're no longer occupied, now it's the illegal territories.
Thanks for